Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we got some range, folks. We got two interviews. Warren Sharp, our good friend Warren Sharp. We talk football, a little preview of the weekend. Also, just recapping the first four games, what we're seeing trend-wise, what we're seeing, who's surprising us, who's disappointing us in the NFL. We'll get into all of that. Then we have the queen, Bethany Frankel. You probably know her from Real Housewives or Skinny Girl Margarita. Awesome interview with her. I think she likes us.
Yeah. I think I would say so.
I think she likes us. I like her. So it was a lot of fun to talk to her. Something a little different for everyone.
I've never seen Real Housewives, so I didn't know what to expect going into this interview. I want her back on the
show.
She's
electric.
She's great.
She's electric. She's got electric personality, so I think everyone will enjoy that. We got Fantasy Fathers, a new edition, and then we got Fyre Fest and a weekend preview. Before we do all that, Pardon My Take is brought to you by, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free. $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Friday, October 9th, and we're time traveling. We are time traveling. You're probably saying, well, why didn't you just say the Bears are dead or the Bears are back? Because we're taping this in the afternoon, and we have coming up in a second, our reactions to the game.
We're actually going to tape after the game.
After the
and
game.
And recap everything, but we're also going to give prediction, which is going to be insanely correct.
Insanely correct. So, PFT.
Big Cat.
What do you think?
I like Nick Foles.
Yes!
I don't want to say I like the Bears.
Yes!
I don't like the Bears, but I like Nick Foles in this game.
There's not a lot to like.
It's Tom Brady and Nick Foles. I've seen this movie before.
Do the math.
Big Dick, Tiny Tinkler Tom. I like the Bear. I like Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. Okay. I think, in my heart of hearts, I was very down on the Bears, obviously, on Sunday. That game wanted me to jump in front of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back. I feel like the Bears are going to have a great effort tonight. I also think, PFT, I think the Bears' offense is going to look good. Well, I think the Bears' offense is going to have... some, I think they're going to have
like 200 yards.
Yeah, 250 maybe. I think they're going to have a good start of the game script. I think Nick Foles has a, you know, it's a short week, obviously, but maybe just a little conversation with all the receivers. I actually took a bet. Allen Robinson, 2 touchdowns is plus 800. I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
And I think the Bears are going to come away from this being like, hey, you know, maybe not the perfect game, but we just went toe-to-toe. We beat the Bucs, and Nick Foles looks good, and Matt Nagy, not a bumbling idiot.
My entire outlook on this game is based on the opposite is going to happen to what I just saw last week. So the Bears were so bad and so painfully boring to watch last week, and everybody saw it. Everybody is just talking about how shitty the Bears are. At that point, once everybody reaches a consensus, at least like this early in the season, unless it's the Jets who stink, are the Ravens who are F-words.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs that are good.
The Chiefs that are a good football team.
Right.
Whenever somebody reaches like a full consensus, everyone thinks the Bears stink and their offense is painfully boring. the script gets flipped.
Yes.
So something weird is going to happen tonight. Here's my bold prediction for tonight. It's going to be weird kicker night. But I think weird kicker in your favor, which is something that you're not
Cairo
used to.
Cairo Santos?
I'm thinking Cairo Santos might do something good. I'm thinking, is it Gay or is it Suck Up? What a hilarious last couple kicker names.
Gay or Suck Up, I don't know.
Occurred to me. I think it's Suck Up. Okay. I think Suck Up is going to do something weird.
Yes.
Whether it's miss 2 out of 3 field goals, maybe miss an extra point, maybe kick a kickoff out of bounds. That's an illegal procedure.
Could
give
happen.
The Bears good field position,
could happen.
Which they then turn into a field goal.
Yep.
Big points.
Yep.
I'm actually taking the over, too, because the Bears, again, look like they have the offensive ineptitude of like a high school team that tries to
That's
run the single
generous.
Win for the first time.
That's being generous.
So I think I'm taking the Bears. I'm taking the over.
The also, so everyone's down on the Bears, obviously, after Sunday. Everyone's kind of weirdly saying that the Bucs are like a finished product. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I mean, we watched that Chargers game. If Justin Herbert doesn't, that handoff at the end of the half doesn't result in a fumble, I think the Chargers probably win that game. And we're looking at this a lot differently. A Bucs team that lost to the Saints, struggled a little bit with the Panthers, and lost to the Chargers. Instead, they're coming into it 3-1. On a 3-game winning streak, and everyone's like, look at the Bucks. They're an awesome team.
Huge X factor, which I know you saw. I saw it this morning as well. It's going to be 66 degrees today in Chicago. That is Mitch Weather.
Mitch Weather.
He's still going to be there. He's going to be on the sidelines. And actually, I made a power ranking list. I'm going to wait until Monday to unveil this, but I have a power ranking of my top 5 quarterbacks in terms of how crisp their handoffs are.
Ooh.
And Mitch is up there.
Nice.
Mitch does a great handoff.
Nice. Is Jimmy G up there?
Jimmy G is up there,
okay,
yes.
Good. He better be. He better be.
Actually, it's funny. I had Jimmy G and I had Nick Mullins in my top 5.
Okay, nice. It's the system.
It's
Kyle Shanahan's system.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yes. Okay, let's do the time travel. Well, actually, you know what, Billy? Why don't you say what you think is going to happen, and then we are going to time travel, so we are going to tape the reaction to the game after the game, obviously, and that will be in a second. But Billy, tell us what you think is going to happen.
Tom Brady's going to skull fuck the Bears.
Oh, Hank says Hank thinks they. All right, Hank, you have it down as 1 skull fuck Tom Brady on the Bears. Billy, your prediction?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty low scoring but close game. I think my man Gronk, he's going to like show some. I think he's going to show something tonight, but I'm not sure if he's going to like be like old Gronk. And I think the game's really going to come down to.
Who's going to win?
I think
Who's
it's going to be like kicking. I think I'm going to take Bears here.
Really?
But it's going to come down to whether Brady's been aging, whether we see Brady's age physically and kind of mentally.
What, like, what do you mean by mentally, his mental age?
I don't know. Maybe he gets slower as you age.
Like,
he's never been a fast quarterback.
Yeah, but, you know, all he's like supposed to be like the smart quarterback, but like, you know, you're not always with it.
Okay, so to recap, Billy, you think that Tom Brady is going to make a mental blunder that's going to cost them the game, and that the Bears kickers are going to be really good?
Yeah.
You're fucking stupid.
All right, Billy. Thank you. Billy doesn't watch NFL, Billy, so he doesn't get predictions right, really.
All due respect, no disrespect to families, our family, you're a fucking dumbass. I'm sorry. It's just, the truth sometimes helps, you know?
I thought it was an okay prediction. All right? It's just okay. All right. Let's time travel. Okay. We're time traveling. It's after the game, and the Bears are back. The Bears are back. Where do you want to start? Tom Brady thinking it was fourth down, standing there, and that was kind of a sad sight, or Matt Nagy being an idiot and fucking up the clock and the defense bailing them out?
Oh, I'm so glad that Matt Nagy did that, though, because we got to see Tom Brady do that at the end. That was...
Yes.
That was a moment where he was just staring like a deer in the headlights at the officials, because Tom Brady has never been that wrong about anything in his life.
It was actually kind of sad to see, because he was just standing there like, what, fourth down? And I get it. It was moving quickly. It was bang, bang, bang at the end of a game. I just... PFT, we talked about Washington football team, I think it was earlier this week, maybe on Monday, like being in and out, you know, in or out, like you gotta find out pretty quickly. This game tonight for the Bears was my in or out game. If the Bears lost this game and lost it poorly, I would have been like, okay, they are frauds. Guess what? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Nick Foles looked terrible in the first half, or probably the first 25 minutes of the game, turned it on at the end of the second quarter. And Khalil Mack was a monster, and I like Matt Nagy. That guy just is obsessed with throwing back shoulder passes to Allen Robinson that either get picked off or really fuck things up. But other than that, the Bears actually played well, and I'm not going to apologize. And I'm also, I got bad thoughts going on in my brain right now.
Super Bowl.
No, Super Bowl.
I mean, the way that you're winning games, these are all games that the Bears would typically find themselves on the losing end on. And by that, I mean, like, these types of losses are Bears losses. But for whatever reason,
a kick.
The script is flat. I don't want to hear anything about luck because I don't want to put that in your head. But it's very weird. Almost like Team of Destiny vibes. Like, I don't use the word Super Bowl lightly.
Stop. All right. Now,
Team of Destiny.
That's enough.
Big Cat, can you imagine at the start
of
the season finding out that you were going to start 4-1 and that you'd have a win over Tom Brady because he's going senile and he can't count to 5 anymore? Like, this is Team of Destiny stuff for sure. And Nick Foles, dude has ice water in his veins. Except for one. His dick, obviously. That's boiling hot blood pulsing through that thing. But you were talking about like the back shoulder throws that he was hitting down the field. He is also a pass interference monster.
He is. The shark wheel worked very well.
Yes.
So everything out of the flats was great. And then, Matt Nagy is obsessed with calling these Allen Robinson back shoulder passes that I think through five games, it's been intercepted 3 times. A couple times Allen Robinson just been like bullied out of it. And then you had that one where he called when it was so obviously if you run clock and kick a field goal, you give Tom Brady 30 seconds and no timeouts and the game is essentially over. Instead, Matt Nagy's like, let's make it as hard as possible. Let's make sure that they get a minute and a half and let's see if Tom Brady can bring the Bucs down the field. And it was almost there. There was a couple chances they had. But I'm not going to complain about Matt Nagy tonight because the Bears won. And again, Nick Foles started slow. We were sitting down in Philly. There were some rumblings about Mitch. I said, no. Let Nick Foles settle in here. Started making some plays. And again, the defense, like Khalil Mack was a monster, an absolute monster tonight. And the Bears are back. I don't know what else to say, but the Bears are back.
I just like saying Tristan Wirfs. It's a fun name to say.
He got beat
Tristan
up, man.
Wirfs.
That one,
I know
that
he's
one
good.
Play.
Where dude. Khalil sacked Brady, and then afterwards he sacked Tristan Wirfs.
He hip slammed him.
You should not be allowed to possess the strength required to throw Tristan Wirfs onto his head. Like, he just hip tossed him. It was insane to see that. What I was saying about Nick Foles, though, when he throws the pass interference ball, it's shades of Joe Flacco. That is a very efficient play to underthrow the ball by just enough to make the defender run into you, and you get that easy 15, 20 yards down the field if you need it. Also, Bruce Arians, very confusing. I'm not talking yet about his play calling or his decision-making on fourth and short. I'm talking about the switch to the transition lenses, away from the transition lenses. He's now wearing the clear glasses, no longer the dark shades. I don't know what that's all about, but I think it had something to do with the fact that he went for it early in the game, fourth and one on their own 19, and then late in the game, they kicked the field goal to put him up by one.
That was the most disrespectful, because that was Nick Foles, like I said, started off like, the first 25 minutes was terrible. That was the most, your offense is so abysmal, like we don't care if we don't get this 4th-and-1 on our own fucking 19. Thankfully, it ended up, not mattering in the end, but Jesus, that was a slap in the Bears offense face. Maybe that's what woke him up. Maybe going for it there was basically saying, hey, you guys suck so bad, we'll give you the ball in the red zone if we can't get this 4th-and-1.
It pissed Chuck Pagano off.
Yeah, a win is a win. A win is a win. So, all right, you want to do the rest of the weekend preview?
I would absolutely love.
What? Come on.
Oh, yeah, it's true. No.
Okay, credit Billy. Where credit's due, Billy.
You were right.
You were figured it out.
Who are the dum-dums now?
We're the dum-dums.
Yeah.
You're a genius.
Yeah. I doubted you, Billy. I'm sorry. You were right. You were really, really right. Spot on.
All right. Just need some credit.
I think I might tail the psycho shit parlay this weekend just because. I mean, if you were able to nail it that much. I think Billy has like a ESP with Gronk. He can just tap into Gronk's brain and figure out what's about to happen.
Showed some serious fire tonight.
He did. Billy's dumbass prediction was brought to you by our good friends over at.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's get to the rest of the weekend preview. Let's go through the slate. Not a great one.
It's football.
They're all good Big in Cat, their own right.
Objection. It's football.
This is like if you have like seven kids, this is the sixth kid who maybe goes to, you know, a public university and, you know, you love him, but, you know, he's not the first kid or the seventh kid. He's just, you know.
What's wrong with public universities?
I went to a public university.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm a disappointment to my parents.
That's true.
Yeah, so there it is.
Yeah, it's not bad. The worst part about this weekend isn't just the matchups. It's the realization that the season is slipping through our fingers. Because yeah. it's the first bye week.
I know.
We're on a bye week.
We're a quarter away through.
Matt Patricia's on a bye week. Somehow survived until... What do you think he does to relax when he doesn't have football on the schedule?
He probably actually just went into the woods because then he doesn't have to pick up a phone when they want to fire him.
That's true. If you don't check your mail, if you don't answer your phone, if you don't respond to text messages, you can't be fired.
Right.
Just show up to work. Be like, you never told me I was fired.
Right.
I'm here. You already paid me for the day. Might as well hang out.
Well, you know what? In Matt Patricia's defense, he, you know, inherited a bad organization, bad team, though they were... I think the most successful they'd been in like 20 years.
Well, in Matt Patricia's defense, they literally give up second half leads of 14 or more points every week.
Just play 10 minutes.
Except for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just play 10 minutes. All right.
I think he goes fishing. Just throws a bunch of like slim fast 6-pack rings into the lake and then speeds away.
Maybe
all
he builds a
die.
Rocket. Maybe he builds a rocket.
That's true.
People forget. He's mm-hmm. literally a rocket scientist.
He should say he's probably crushing that Challenger documentary.
Okay, Hank.
Rocket related.
He should. Well,
four
it's actually
in a row now. Yeah. Four episodes in a row.
That's a perfect analogy for his season thus
yes,
far.
Yes.
Should have fixed the O-rings, Matt.
Oh man. Line. All right. Panthers Falcons. Let's start there. Falcons. This could be the end for Dan Quinn. I have said many times I'm going to respect Teddy Bridgewater more, and that's why I love the Panthers in this game. And I just like, I mean, the Falcons, they have the players, but maybe they're just bad.
Also, yeah, they're coming off a short week.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bad.
Mm?
They have the players.
I think they might
you
be just
said
bad.
They have the, I'm having a hard time quitting both the Falcons and the Texans. I know those are two teams that you have like latched yourself onto in the past, but they both have so much talent.
Yeah, I know, and they're bad. Well, the Texans don't really anymore, but the Falcons are just bad. They're just straight up bad.
I'm gonna withhold my pick on this game until I see if they're wearing the Deion Sanders all-black jerseys.
Mm, yes.
You know what they need
Although,
to do?
Although, no, they have new throwbacks, I think, which makes no sense. That's an oxymoron, but they have new throwbacks.
So their new throwbacks
they're
are
new.
Like the mid-2000s?
They look
Those
like...
Are their throwbacks?
No, I think they're like an interpretation of a throwback, but they're new.
Okay.
Yes.
Like a period piece.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, this is what... If we had today's technology, this is what we would have worn... In the 90s.
It's like Wild Wild West, the movie. It's like, what we're going to go back in time and look at the Wild Wild West, except guess what? There's kick-ass mechanical spiders that
right.
destroy you.
And I'm Will Smith, and I'm a fucking badass.
And also, I invented rap in the 1800s.
Right, exactly.
Got it, okay.
Independence Day, remember
well,
that?
If those are...
That's Will Smith, right?
Yes. Yeah. If those are the jerseys they're wearing, the fake throwbacks, then I'm going to say no way to the Atlanta Falcons. But if they're wearing the all-blacks, I'm going to bet on the Falcons this weekend.
Okay. Bills-Titans, is this game even going to happen? Probably not.
Nope.
Has it officially been canceled or moved?
Not yet. Maybe by the time we record.
Did you see Doug Brable Farrar, spot. NFL writer, had the hottest take?
Yes.
He said cancel the entire Titans season because they don't respect COVID.
Well, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. No, he canceled their whole season.
He blocked me on Twitter, so I did not see that.
Same.
But
same.
You creeped on him?
No. Someone was like, check out this take. And I think it literally was like, so he did the power rankings.
The power rankings, he had the Titans in 32nd. Because he said, if they're not going to respect COVID, I'm not going to respect that.
And then he wrote a whole piece being like, cancel their season.
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting that the Titans even got caught in the first place. It's actually funny that it took them so long to be doing these practices and get caught. Because they're a professional football team. What professional football team do you know could show up at a local high school for like a week and a half doing constant like off-the-books practices and never get caught for it? It was like one guy that took it, like one high schooler took a picture through a chain link fence from 200 yards away. He's like, I think that might be the Titans that have been practicing at my high school field all week.
Yeah.
That's how forgettable the Titans roster is.
That's a tough look. I just, Yeah, this game. I can't stand the people who freak out after every positive test. I mean, it's similar to baseball. Like, we're going to have, when you're not in a bubble, things are going to go wrong, right? So just everyone chill out, because I've seen many times whenever there's a new test, there's a lot of hand-wringing and, like, so much for the NFL season. That was fun while it lasted. Well, it's still going to go.
It's also
okay?
it's also a lot of virus shaming.
Yeah.
Like making fun of them for being sick.
That's true.
I personally hope that the Titans get well enough to play a full schedule.
I do, too. We have friends on the Titans.
There was something that I think Adam Schefter threw this out earlier today, saying that if all these games start to get canceled, the league is talking about maybe just making it best winning percentage at the end of the season.
That would suck. They did that for baseball.
Yeah.
So there were some teams that didn't play all the games, but I don't think it works for football.
The in the hunt graphics are going to get fucked up.
And the Eagles tie is going to look even better.
They're going to have to hire a whole new slate of data scientists.
Right. The Eagles win the NFC East at 3-5-1.
The Eagles should just stop playing right now.
Yes.
1-2-1.
Can't get better than this.
That's good enough to get you. Yeah, absolutely. That's the top of the NFC East this season.
All right.
Hank had a good take earlier today, though. He was saying that the NFL needs to be looked into, because just so happens that the Patriots' best player on offense and best player on defense have COVID.
But not enough for them to have to cancel games. So they have to play just without their best players.
Oh.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Out. The pandemic squeeze out.
With photo evidence of Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes broke protocol, hugged Stephen Gilmore when he probably didn't even want to be hugged.
Yeah.
But somehow he doesn't have corona. But one of their backup QBs does.
Or, flip it, Bill Belichick knew that Gilmore had corona. Was like, hey, go hug Mahomes for us.
Yeah, sent him over there.
No, because who do you think is doing the testing? Who's reporting on the test results? Patriots?
Fauci?
No. NFL.
Oh, okay. NFL. Who's my answer? NFL. What are you going to say, Billy?
Belichick could be doing his own tests on off days.
He definitely would.
Just for fun? For his own
Belichick record-keeping? Probably thinks that, like, Ernie Adams is a bomb-sniffing dog where he can just go up and he sniffs everyone's breath as they come into the facility. He's like, nope, doesn't have it. Yep, has it.
I'll bet you he's sending Steve Belichick team to team collecting samples, like wearing a, as long as you show up somewhere wearing a lab coat, people will be like, yeah, that guy's a doctor.
Stethoscope.
So send him to their next opponent, get their swabs, check their DNA, bring it back to Papa. Now he's got all the dirt.
I like it.
My other national unbiased football reporter take is that Vrabel and the Titans are going to get extra fucked because he's a former Patriot.
Ah.
I just love where your mind goes like that.
Huh? I also love, so the Raiders and Chiefs.
You
are the
agree
next
though,
game.
Right? Like they're going to come down hard, like super hard.
But not necessarily because he's a former Patriot. But
it's virus shaming.
I like that line of thinking from you though.
They're not going to cut and do him any favors.
Yeah. Raiders Chiefs the next game might not happen as well. So that one we're hoping is going to happen, but might not because they're like, people are saying, their hand-wringing is going on where they're like, well, it's only a matter of time before the Chiefs start testing positive. So it was like pulled for a couple days on the board, and it's back on there. I also, just as a side note, I love that everyone is talking about the Chiefs' schedule because they played Monday night, then they're playing Sunday, then they're playing Thursday. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the Chiefs are going to play 3 games in 11 days. If the schedule hadn't been fucked, they would have played 3 games in 12 games, 12 days.
That extra day helps.
So everyone gets fucked when they play Thursday night football. It's just fun. It's telling on yourself to not be like, wait, but Thursday night football happens every week, so some team always plays in this short, condensed time.
I like it when it's even further in the distance, involving an even greater amount of time. So it's like, can you believe that they're going to have to play like 4, 5.5 games in 28 days?
Yeah.
And then
with time change. Yeah, they have to play a West Coast game. Late.
Exactly. Yeah. When you look that far ahead and say how they're getting scheduled fucked. I do kind of like the Raiders in this.
I do too.
Because I've heard a lot of talk this week about how John Gruden is saying this is not a rivalry because they kick our ass so much. So you know that John Gruden is playing like snuff films, like the worst highlights ever of Chiefs Raiders games nonstop in the practice facility.
Well, they just have to go to last year because I'm going to probably take the Raiders in this game. But all I can think about is last year when Patrick Mahomes threw 4 touchdown passes in that second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels like it could also happen again. Cardinals, Jets, I'm going to go quick here. Well, it's Flacco, right?
Yeah, it's Flacco. So there's a great quote, their offensive coordinator. By the way, do you know who the Jets' offensive coordinator is? I'm shocked they had one.
No.
His name is Dow Loggins.
Oh, yeah, Dow Loggins. He used to be with the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with his body of work.
Oh, so yeah.
He was the
good.
He was the Bears offensive coordinator and performed so well.
He failed upwards. Yes.
Is that the Bears to the Jets offense?
He was quarterback's coach, I want to say, for Cutler, and then he got offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I would say going quarterback's coach on the Bears to offensive coordinator on the Jets is a lateral move.
Yeah, that is a lateral
move. No offense to DK Metcalf. But he said he definitely has a Jersey toughness and a Jersey edge to him about Flacco.
Okay.
So Jersey edge, I'm believing in Flacco short term.
Dow Loggins is also a short king. He's 5'6".
There we go.
Tough to coach the quarterback.
Give him a pair of zoom
over the offensive line.
Zoom 720s for that guy.
Mm-hmm. This game is simple to me. If the Cardinals are even remotely for real, they win this easily. And if they're frauds, they lose.
I think that, that's fair.
This is your chance, Cardinals, to prove that I need to start taking you even a little bit serious.
If they don't cover the spread, which is they're frauds.
Right.
F-words.
Correct.
Bird alert.
Eagles-Steelers, Battle of Wentzylvania. I love when these teams play. By the way, download the Barstool Sportsbook app because I know that we have that deal. It's like a free sub in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia every single Monday going for the rest of the season if the Eagles or the Steelers cover.
Okay.
Obviously, they both can't cover this game. I think the Steelers are going to win.
I think so, too.
And easily.
I think so, too.
Because body clock.
Yeah, Big Ben didn't play last week.
Which was an injury. If you had someone to complain and cry victim for other people getting coronavirus as Ben Roethlisberger, then you won nothing because everyone expected that to happen.
He was saying like it felt weird not being able to play last week.
These people got a disease that we still don't have a cure for. But the real victim here is me because I didn't know that we were gonna have a bye week, and then we had a bye week.
What do they call sandwiches in Pittsburgh? It's not a hoagie. It's a hoagie in Philadelphia. Is it a hero?
Is it
a grinder? It might be a grinder.
Oh, no. I just searched grinder. That's not what that is.
Leave out the E.
Okay. That came up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they just stuffed.
They put fries on
them. It's Permantes.
Okay, so if the Eagles win, everyone in Pittsburgh has to call them hoagies. If the Steelers win, then you just have to put fries literally in everything in Philadelphia.
All right. Next game, Rams, Washington football team. We talk a little bit with Warren Sharp about Dwayne Haskins. Surprising that he got bumped all the way down to third string. I think, though, PFT, I think your Washington football team is going to come out as a live dog here with someone who can maybe move the ball up and down the field.
I don't hate that notion. Kyle Allen had, six good games?
Small
five
hands,
good games?
Remember, small hands.
I'm putting that out of my memory
small
for right
hands.
Now.
Small hands.
Stop saying it. Stop saying it. He had, five good games last year.
He had a
year.
Moment. He officially had
he
a
did.
Moment. We had that moment where we're like, is Kyle Allen having a moment?
He beat Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna ride Kyle Allen on this one.
I
think
like
he's
that.
Got some magic in there.
I like that. Bengals-Ravens. This is another one where I want to. So I promised myself that I would always take the Ravens against inferior opponents because they'll just shit pump them. But I think Joe Burrow, this year the Bengals are not going to be good, but I'm Joe Burrow is 4-0 against the spread. So Joe Burrow's our spread god of the season so far. So you have to take the Bengals.
I like that.
As the spread god.
I like that. I think the Ravens are going to win, but I think the Bengals are going to cover.
Right, exactly. Spread god. Jaguars-Texans, this should be on Thursday night. Also, no one cares. This is prime time. Forget about this game happening on Red Zone.
Well, it's false hope because it's an interim head coach, so you want to take the Texans just based on the spark, but as we said, Romeo provides no spark.
Right.
He's an older Jim Caldwell. He's more alive than Jim Caldwell by the narrowest of margins, but he doesn't light that fire like you like to see a lot of interim coaches do. So
I think he's more alive than Jim Caldwell simply because he's heavier, and when you're that heavy, it's obvious that you're breathing.
I'll put it this way. He's closer to death than Jim Caldwell is, but he's less alive.
Correct. Like, if you had a zombie movie and you had a bunch of extras playing dead people, you wouldn't want to do Romeo Crennel. I don't think he could hold his breath for a while.
Yes.
Whereas Jim Caldwell,
you're checking
wait,
for a pulse.
You call the ambulance.
You're tickling the bottom of his
died.
Foot.
Right.
Yeah, Romeo.
Right.
Okay, I got that. I still think I like the Texans.
Shout out J.J. Watt, by the way. For the report out there that he essentially was the one who got Bill O'Brien fired. yelling at him in practice.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I love that out of JJ because you know what? Bill O'Brien sucked. And if JJ Watt saved the city of Houston, he's been their franchise player for a long time now. But his legacy should be you finally got rid of Bill O'Brien by just being like, I'm fed up. I can't take it anymore.
You know how much it takes for JJ Watt to like publicly go after his coach like right. that in front of his teammates?
Well, it's private, but
in front of his teammates.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Like to be openly insubordinate at practice.
Yeah.
Like that. Bill O'Brien must have said some fucked up stuff about JJ.
Or he just was bad.
Or he was just like, I'd rather have your brother on the team. JJ's like, he's not better than me yet.
I would imagine he just saw Bill O'Brien's face for the, I don't know, 1,500th day in a row and was like, I just can't take it anymore. Can't take it anymore.
Coach, you're only 19% pleasure, 9% pain. I need you to be 100%, 110% reason to remember the name.
Oh, man. Good job, JJ. All right, Dolphins, 49ers. Just let me know when Tua plays. That's all I got on this game.
Agreed. But this is, I think, the 49ers that we expected are going to show up this weekend.
Mm. Is Jimmy G, what's his timetable?
I think he's playing.
He is. Okay. Nice.
His timetable is right here, right now.
Yeah, let's go. Colts-Browns, actually, probably the best game of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe it, but Colts-Browns, 3-1 versus 3-1. This is a big time. If the Browns win, they're for real. But that wouldn't make the Colts frauds.
No, I think this is an are you for real game.
Oh, I don't know. I think the Colts are good no matter what.
This is our first are we sure they're good game of the season.
But just for the Browns, I think the Colts are good.
I don't know if they are.
I guess they've only played.
They beat the Bears by like 10 points.
Jets. Yeah, you know, and we did beat them in the fourth quarter. We ran out of time.
That's true.
All right, so fine. Yeah, you're right. Let's do it. Are we sure they're good game of the week? Of the year. God, if the Browns win this. This is another one where I really feel bad that, like, watch this season happen in 2020 and, like, the Browns are 12-4 and the Bills are 14-2 and mm-hmm. no fans get to get drunk in the Mooney lot or jump through tables in Buffalo.
I think they'll make an exception. If the Browns go to the playoffs, if you were to ask everybody in Cleveland, like, would you accept dying?
If it meant that
you got to go like an extended playoff run, I think we said the same thing about the Bills.
Yeah.
Those two franchises should be allowed to, at the very least, like sign a waiver.
Worth the risk.
Yes. Tailgate.
Easily. All right. Giants, Cowboys. I'm surprised this game's not on Sunday Night Football.
This game sucks, and they rub it in our faces every year. So thank you to whoever made the schedule mm-hmm. for not making me look at that uniform combination for the 20th year in a row in primetime.
I don't know. The Giants have scored 3 touchdowns this year. 3.
Mm-hmm.
3.
That's tough to do.
3. So the Cowboys, if you have any pride, you killed the
shit
Giants.
Pump. It's going to be a shit pump.
Absolutely yeah. killed them. Broncos, Patriots, probably not going to happen, right? When are they going to move it to?
I think it's going to happen.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Oh, so they just isolated Cam?
It's their best players, and then Belichick will probably have it too, and then probably Edelman. Who else is going to get it?
You guys can beat the Broncos with, like, you could take the top half of your roster and cut it off, and I think Belichick would be able to beat the Broncos.
Not if Bortles plays.
That's true.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
First half, at least.
First half, Bortles. Yeah, second
you
quarter.
Almost said something nice about one of our friends. Almost. And then you had to do that. All right, last game, Vikings, Seahawks, primetime Kirk Cousins.
Easy.
Yeah.
Fun fact, you know how we talked to DK about him being tied with Stephon Diggs for the lead league in reception yards?
Yep.
He would have had that one if he had scored the touchdown.
Yep.
He's tied with Stephon Diggs. The person who punched the ball out on the 1 yard line, Stephon Diggs' little brother.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, that is fun. That's
thicker
fun.
Than water.
Circle of life.
Family.
Yeah. All right, let's go through our picks real quick. Why don't you, Hank, why don't you just say all 4 and then PFT and then I'll say mine.
Falcons are my favorite.
Okay.
Eagles are my underdog.
Okay.
Over in Saints Chargers.
Yeah.
Under in Jags Texans. You can say okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a Monday night game, so.
So?
We usually don't do the Monday night game.
We've only been doing the show for five years.
I could tell something was up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, give me the over in Vegas Chiefs then.
Love it.
Okay.
Okay.
My favorite.
Hurricane Delta?
No, okay.
Will that be up in Kansas City by then?
I think it's going to be.
I don't think hurricanes go that far north.
Well, like the storm still just keeps going. It's just rain.
It won't be a hurricane.
It becomes lesser rain.
More of a tropy storm.
Delta.
Hurricane Echo.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go favorite Houston -6. Also, bonus favorite New Orleans.
Whoa.
Because of the October.
I like that.
No, we don't do Monday night.
Put that on the board.
That's on mine. That's on my official.
I'll take that too.
No.
Okay, Big Cat, you got it. Bill, you want it? My underdog is Browns.
Okay.
And my logic for this goes no further than I like home dogs.
Yeah.
I love home dogs.
Even though home field doesn't matter.
I don't care. I like home dogs. It's,
thank
it's
you.
Value. It's a value pick, Big Cat. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that, Big Cat.
The trends.
My over is Philly-Pittsburgh, 44.5, taking the over on that one. And my under is Cardinals-Jets.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
47.
I like that.
That one, to me, that seems too easy. I'm scared how much I like that one. But that's a sign of a good relationship,
if you really
right?
like an under, it's always
I'm
bad.
Really, yeah. like, I sparks are flying between me and Cardinals-Jets right
unders.
Now. I might be coming on too strong.
I'm going to take the Panthers plus two. Respect Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
The over in the Chiefs-Raiders. Yeah, okay. I'm going against you. The over in the Chiefs-Raiders. You know what? I'm just going to die on, like, sometimes I'll make bets that I'll live with being wrong, just being like, well, now I can just cross you off as not a real team.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys don't cover the 9.5 against the Giants, I'm just going to cross them off as not a real team. So it's like a statement game.
Mm-hmm.
You either tell me that you're real or not, but otherwise I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take the under in Dolphins 49ers. And then I have my can't lose parlay. You guys ready for it?
Hit me.
It's not going to lose. Last week was a setback, but that's okay because I went and I got my system right, the models, everything. All right, here we go.
What does the data tell you?
What do you want me to start with? The team that's least likely to win or most likely to win?
But it can't lose,
right?
So how would you have a team that is least likely to win?
Well, there's some that are closer to the can't lose border.
That's the can't not lose,
right?
Bet.
All right, Cowboys, they're gonna win. Niners. They're gonna win. Hank, you follow me yet? No. Mm-hmm. You don't like it?
No.
You're the ombudsman for the can't lose parlay.
I have not said anything.
The Chiefs?
Didn't say okay.
He's looking.
That's good, you're good.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
well that's the can't lose. What did, do you not understand did, the can't Hank lose
just,
parlay?
Did Hank just uncover
you
the,
get it?
The oh, modeling God, behind can't the can't lose parlay? Yeah. It's taking super, super favors all the time because
the Steelers?
Eh, that's where it ends.
Okay. And then the Seahawks. Little night game. Plus 270. Plus 270 boosted on the Barstool Sportsbook app. I think it's like around 210.
Plus 214. I'm plugged it in.
But
it's boosted.
Boosted.
No, no.
Oh, you're telling me what the real one. There we go. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good fact check. Good fact check. Yeah. All right, so 214 regularly, 270 if you want to bet it on the Barstool Sportsbook app under exclusives. It cannot lose. Billy likes it.
Billy, what's your
Billy's
parlay?
The parlay king. Billy's the parlay king.
If it lost last weekend, but if you had taken the friends of the program parlay, which one is
which Hank will never do.
Talk. I know you're looking at them when you talk.
It's
but you got to talk
into the mic.
Mic.
Yep.
Anyway, so
there you go.
This week's friends of the program parlay is this is all money line: Bengals, Browns, Jaguars, Rams, Niners.
Money line?
All money line.
Billy, so this is what happens.
The Bengals.
Bengals?
The Bengals. The Bengals pick. The Bengals pick. You might want to change from a money line to a parlay.
That's where you
mean,
get,
to a,
that's where you lose
to
me.
Cover.
A
make
spread.
It easy
to cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's plus 5,695 on the Barstool Sportsbook. I plugged it in.
Okay. Well,
so,
wait, how much? $10?
So like, if you gamble $20, you make like 2,500.
So you
that's
retire
not,
for life.
No,
$1,200 actually.
Billy, wait, do the math again. That's huh? There's no way that's
1,200.
Right.
No.
That's, if you do all money line on those teams,
only 1,200,
and you put $20 in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more than that.
Anyway.
Listen,
whatever it is,
the end result is the end result doesn't matter.
I'm like got some backup parlays. Mm-hmm. I realized that you could make six different parlays, different.
If you parlay every team, there's no way you can lose.
It
that's
actually
the real,
can't lose.
Can't lose.
Yeah.
That's like hitting the all button in horse racing.
Uh huh.
Exactly.
But make sure you do it responsibly. Okay?
Responsibly.
Responsible gambling. 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yes.
If you think you got a problem and you want to talk to someone, that's serious. That's dead serious. This should be entertainment. This is fun. This should not be betting more than you have. $20, that sounds like a fun Sunday.
Parlays, bet a little, win a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good point.
There we go. That's a tagline.
Sounds like a Kenny Chesney song.
Billy figured it out.
Can you imagine doing it the other way around? You'd have to be an idiot.
Yeah. Right. Can't lose parlay.
Yeah. That's what
it.
That is.
Yeah. Bitch. I mean, can't lose parlays 2-2 this year plus money.
I think it's awesome that Hank just figured out what the can't lose parlay is usually based around.
Yes.
Like, well, it's not usually that. Why are you taking such big dogs?
Well, this slate's kind of weird. Hank's I had to do five right teams. All right, let's before we get to our interviews, so we have Warren Sharp, Football with Warren Sharp coming up, and then we have an awesome, awesome interview with Bethany Frankel. If you don't know who she is, if you don't watch Housewives, you don't know Skinny Girl Margarita, you should listen to this interview because we love her. She's got some spice. She's got a little spice, little, like, doesn't take shit.
You want to say you spunk, love her. But you withheld
arrogance.
That.
No, I was going to say arrogance, but it's, like, funny arrogance. Like, I love that type of arrogance because it's she's self-aware and arrogant, but it's, like, a endearing. I love her.
I was going to say, I feel like she's on your Mount Rushmore of people that, like, I've seen you get actually, like,
I was very,
very
excited. And she delivered. She delivered.
Bottom line, she's just cool.
She's a cool-ass chick. all right, let's do Fantasy Fathers. Fantasy Fathers. Ready?
Yes. Hey, fellas.
What's up?
It's Joseph O'Shea.
How's it hanging?
My stardom this week is raking. Ruin your teenage kids' weekend by telling them they have to rake leaves for 4 hours before they can do anything else.
That's when you get a little fun time with mama.
You want to make sure you rake multiple times while there's still some leaves on the tree so that you can do it again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, do me a favor, sport. Rake in the same direction the whole time. Don't mess up my lawn. Thanks.
Make sure you use the right trash bags when you take them out. They won't pick them up otherwise.
My sit-in this week is Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
He's touchdown dependent, and if he doesn't get any red zone looks, he's not going to get any points on your team if it's a PPR league.
That's true. Can't score points if you don't get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And my sleeper is Snowflakes. Not the Libby McLibs, the emoji.
Oh.
Quavo showed the world that he got his girlfriend by just sending a snowflake emoji in her DMs, and that's what started their relationship. So just shoot the snowflake out in on Tinder or your text message this weekend, and it's sure to work. There's no difference between you and Quavo.
Only DMs I slide into is dishwasher maintenance. Gotta make sure that thing is humming in time for the holidays. What's up, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hi, good. I'm Dad.
A little tired. Never enough sleep, you know?
I like telling Dad jokes. You know, sometimes he laughs. I'm starting bug spray this weekend. Taking a candle-making masterclass on the great courses. You can find right there on Google. You can get books at the library as well. It's important to keep the bugs away in the fall. They transmit diseases. Got to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting Kirk Cousins. The game's starting too late at night for me. I'm not going to stay up and watch it. Also, it's just Kirk Cousins prime time.
He cooks a steak like a bitch.
He does. Not a great griller, you know?
Don't say the B word. It's the B word.
Yeah. Like sometimes I like to sprinkle a little seasoning salt on one side. That way it's a little treat. I've got to watch my blood pressure and the sodium gets at me.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing fish around in Seattle. I always like that little montage. That
yep.
You know what they call a fish with no eye?
A fish. Dinner.
Nice.
That's what they call dinner. That's
you know
good.
What they call a deer with no eyes?
I have no idea.
There you go.
Good joke, Dad.
You usually let me say it.
I'm taking the my sleeper is taking the stairs. It's good exercise.
There we go.
My mother doesn't trust the stairs. She says it's because they're always up to something.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywho, I'm tired. Hi, tired. I'm Dad.
All right. It's Dan Katz. This whole thing feels a little too on the nose for being a dad, especially when PFT said the game was starting too late after I said that on Wednesday's show.
A little tip of the cap.
Big dad. My stardom this week is the thermostat, because guess what? It's getting cooler out there. Probably going to have the women in your household try to hit that heat. Don't let them do it. Make sure that they get a blanket or a sweatshirt. They got to make sure that living room stays nice and frosty all
layer
winter
up.
Long. Yeah, layer up, put on some socks. I'm not paying for the heat.
Not those regular flimsy socks they make nowadays. Go get yourself
the wool ones.
Put the wool ones
but
on.
But be careful on the hardwood floors.
We've got a great pair of mittens in the closet.
Yes. Yes.
Not heating up the whole neighborhood.
My sit-em is going to be Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger watches too much porn. I actually had that problem, too. I had a little addiction with Mr. Skin back in the day.
Mm.
Got a lot of viruses. Haven't used a computer since.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to email me, it will not work. But you can hit me up at my Hotmail account. My sleeper...
Is that M-A-L-E?
Yes.
Dad bod.
Yes, nice. My sleeper is going to be dad naps. Take those dad naps. Make sure you take little cat naps all throughout the day. Just turn on the TV. Turn on anything, and you'll probably fall asleep almost instantly. And remember, don't wake daddy.
You know what? I missed the Masters this year, and I haven't caught up since. That was that was the day that I stayed on schedule for the rest of the year with my nap.
Speaking
double
of which,
Masters this year.
Yeah, double Masters. And speaking of which, thank you for bringing that up. You will catch up this weekend. It is daylight savings, so make sure you change those clocks on Saturday night. Do not make that mistake. Otherwise, you might show up late.
Work forward, please.
Yep, please do it.
Hi, I'm John Thurston. I'm a father of four.
Hey, John.
My stardom is getting kicked out of your son's Pop Warner games because that is, you know, you get a little too riled up on the sideline, yell at your son's offensive coordinator, tell him that he sucks, and he should get, give me my son the ball more.
You know, you started over him in high school. He should be listening to you.
Exactly. My sit-em is power tools. Power tools are dangerous. You should make your kids build things with their hands and use their youthful vigor while they can, and it really builds character. Plus, they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. My sleeper is Kirk Cousins because he's a guy that goes to church every Sunday. So this Sunday,
he's a great guy.
Great guy.
This Sunday,
looks just like you, John Thurston.
He's gonna get his time.
Yeah,
he's your dad.
He's my dad.
He's your dad.
He's your dad.
Anyway, make sure to tell your kids about R. Kelly because he's a very bad man. Yeah. And sometimes
did you Google it?
Yes, I Googled it.
You Googled it after Wednesday's show.
Yep.
Good job, Billy.
Don't listen to his
figured
music.
That one out a little late.
Really
but
bad.
That's okay. Yeah, real. We told
really
you.
Bad.
We told you it was really bad.
It R. was Kelly really bad, awareness.
Right? It was really bad.
Really bad.
We are the premier R. Kelly awareness podcast.
Yes.
Disavow.
We're just like 3 years too late.
I don't recall Bill Simmons ever disavowing R. Kelly, do you?
Better late than never. That's what we say when it comes to R. Kelly awareness.
Yep.
Right?
We're educating the youth one intern at a time.
Well, there's probably someone who like slept through the entire year of 2018.
Yeah, because R. Kelly drugged them.
And they're just waking up, and now they're listening to this show, and they're like, we did what?
Yep.
There R. Kelly. We go.
What Thank a shitty year. That would be an awful timing if you slept all the way through 2018, which was objectively a pretty kick-ass year.
Was it?
And then you probably, it wasn't this year.
2020.
Yeah.
I'm a 2016
guy. Hey, guys,
guy.
Can't wait for 2020 to end. All of our problems are going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
January 1st, 2021, new beginnings. All right, let's get to our interviews. We got Warren Sharp first, and then we're going to have Bethany Frankel right after. This football season will be different, but Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it, and it is the refreshment you need to power through game day. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest from Pepsi. Pepsi's made for football watching. I've actually been drinking a nice 20-ounce Diet Pepsi every Sunday, getting my energy up, feeling good, watching football. Pepsi is delicious, so thank you to Pepsi. Go right now, again, madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest from Pepsi. That's make this football season a little different. You get to work on Monday, drink that Pepsi on Sunday, feel good, taste great, watch the football. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so thank you to Pepsi, made for football watching. Okay, here he is, Warren Sharp. Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, Warren Sharp. You can find him on Twitter. He's got a podcast. Now, what's the name of the podcast? Sharp Report?
Sharp Angles Podcast. I'm also on the Ringer podcast stuff, and I'm also doing some stuff for NBC now.
Do you really, like, outside of the fact that you're good at your job, like having the last name Sharp, the possibilities are endless for, you know, I mean, wait, is that a Hollywood thing? Are you like,
Did you change your name to Sharp?
No, luckily no.
How did that work, man? That's crazy. All right. I don't know why we started that way.
What about
but
the great white Sharp.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
All right. You could have done that. All right. So Warren is here. We're four games into the NFL season. We thought it'd be a great time to catch up. We did a little preview before the season started, so let's catch up. Where should we start? You know what? Can we actually just start with the Bears, and can you just tell me that everything's going to be okay? Now, we're going to run this on Friday after Thursday night, so just want that disclaimer so that if things don't look okay, you don't look dumb. But what is their problem, and is it fixable?
It is 100% fixable. Look, their defense is fine. I don't have a problem with the Bears' defense. Let's talk about the offense. Specifically, let's talk about this change to Nick Foles. I know that Nick Foles, I know you were defending Mitchell Trubisky, and I don't know what your take was on Nick Foles coming, but obviously our expectations were that Nick Foles was going to be a better performing quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky. That's why they went out and got him in the first place. And my thought was, had we had a full off season, he may have been the week one starter. I know your position was it's easy to turn to Nick midseason.
Yeah.
So regardless, that's what they did. And they're in a good position here, but they're screwing things up by the way that they're calling plays. And, you know, I watched the first game, obviously, against the Colts. And some of this stuff is pretty shocking and mind-numbing. So first of all, let's think about this. On early down, so we're talking first and second down in the first half of games, when Mitchell Trubisky was the quarterback for the first three games, they were basically 50-50 run pass split. They were just 50-50, flip a coin. That's what they would do on early downs. Now, most teams are going to pass the ball a little bit more because it's more efficient to do, but they weren't. Now you get Nick Foles in here, and you're going up against the number five best run defense in the league in terms of the Indianapolis Colts. You would think that you have confidence in Nick Foles, you're going to be passing the ball more. But what they ended up doing was going as close to a 50-50 split as possible without landing on 50-50. If they had called one more run play, they would have been at 50-50 split. So they almost did the same exact stuff that they did with Mitchell Trubisky. But the results were dramatically different. When they were passing the ball, they were averaging 8.9 yards per attempt. When they ran the ball, they were down at 1.5 yards per carry, which is the lowest in the NFL. And yet they're still running the ball 50% of the time, basically, against that Colts in the first half. So they absolutely have to shift to a more pass-heavy approach. When they stay conservative like they've been doing, running the ball too much, especially against a good run defense, it puts Nick Foles in these obvious third and pass situations, which are not beneficial to him. And then the last point, and you maybe noticed this during that game, was this methodical, plodding, slow-paced offense. They were the slowest offense of any team in the NFL in week four. They averaged over 33 seconds between snaps in the first half of the game. It allowed Nick Foles to get into zero rhythm whatsoever offensively. If it's not working by going slow, change things up, Matt Nagy. Go fast for a series or two. See if that's going to jumpstart this passing attack a little bit. So they really need to improve their performance from both a play calling standpoint, from a play sequencing standpoint, and just from a play rate standpoint.
Tempo,
and I think they will get a higher ceiling out of Nick Foles in this offense.
So one follow-up question, this doesn't have to be specifically about the Bears, but when it comes to running the football and the run pass split that you talked about, and let's say a team is not running the ball well, but they keep running it, do you think from an analytical standpoint, you're probably saying stop running the ball if you're only running it for a yard a pop. But from like the human element of it, I do think there's a benefit when you have your offensive linemen be able to run block versus pass block. You can't expect your offensive linemen to pass block for the entire game and go backwards the entire game. I think that kind of takes the strength away from them, and they slowly but surely will it just sucks going backwards all game like that. So do you think there's any human element of that where committing to the run, even if it doesn't work, helps your offensive linemen stay engaged, be able to move forward every now and then instead of constantly going back in pass protection?
Well, I don't think committing to the run is the right way to do it. I definitely don't think teams, if they're bad at running the ball, should commit to the run. I don't think very many teams in general should. But in terms of using enough of a balance to keep the linemen engaged, I think is what you're getting to. I still think, look, if we just look at the pure numbers here, league-wide this year on first downs in the first half of games. So this is what our offensive coordinator can control here. Passes are averaging 8.3 yards per attempt, and runs are only averaging 4.4 yards per carry. So we're almost, but not quite, double the average yardage on pass plays. I think the better strategy is, and I've seen some coaches around the league over the years, not specifically this year, I haven't read a lot about it, but teaching offensive linemen to be engaging and aggressive with their pass protection. Mm-hmm. So to still be attacking, even though they're using pass pro techniques, even though they're dropping back to pass protect, you have to attack when you're doing that. Because you are right, there is a human element where these linemen don't want to just keep being on their heels, getting beat by the pass rushers. You want to try to attack those guys. And I think there's a balance. You don't want to be 100% pass, but I would not advise if you're struggling to run the ball. The answer is not run the ball more to get these guys more engaged. The answer is teach these guys to pass protect with aggression and take joy in trying to get some pancake blocks and some other things like that when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this graphic because I've seen it pulled up a few times this season, and it's something that you talk about a lot. We've talked about a lot with you. The neutral situation pass rates, right? So in other words, like how often is a team passing the ball on first down, first and second down? You know, traditionally you see an offense like back in the 80s and 70s, run, pass. And still to this very day with a lot of offenses, they just, you know, they schedule themselves. We're going to run the ball on first down every time, pick up 2 yards, run it again, pick up another 2 yards, and then try to pass for 7 yards on third down, which, as you pointed out, doesn't really work anymore. But the top five teams are the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Cardinals, and the Bills in passing on first down. Is it just that simple? Like, if you have, all things being equal, a good offense or a decent, let's say like an average offense, is it that simple to improve your output by saying, okay, we're going to pass the ball 20% more often on first down?
Yeah, you would be surprised. So if you look at those numbers, and I'm not sure the exact ones that you're looking at, but from the general numbers, like if you just look at first three quarters of the game, first down plays, the teams that are like the team that's the most pass heavy is in the low 60% range. And the team that's like the NFL average is around 49% pass. And so the reality is what I've told coaches before that have like play callers that work with coaches that are a little bit more old school run based, you know, defense first, let's control the ball and keep it away from the opponent type philosophy, is all you really have to do here is throw one more pass out of 10 plays, right? You'll move from 50% up to 60%. You'll move from a league average up to near the top of the league. And if you think about it like that, it's really not that difficult. Just out of 10 plays on 10 first downs, just throw one more pass. But it really does make a difference because those passes gain more yards on average and will save you from going into third downs more often. So it absolutely can be very beneficial simply by just throwing the ball one more time out of 10 plays. The difference that you get from that, and we've seen some teams move even more beyond that, like a team like the Seattle Seahawks moving to a team that was very conservative a couple of years ago, a little bit more neutral last year, to now very aggressive. You mentioned top five in terms of pass rate. Definitely very beneficial. Keeps the team on schedule, keeps them out of third downs. And the other thing that I've noticed this year from some teams that I haven't seen as much of it in the past is teams on first down, the way that they're throwing these passes, they're doing it more often. They're throwing more often, but they're throwing them a little bit shorter so that they ensure that they're catching the ball and gaining yards. They're not going down the field as often on first down. They're throwing more conservative passes on first down as sort of like extensions of the run game. And by doing so, they're creating a higher floor of what these passes are going to do. And then in addition to that, what they decide to do on second down is they throw the ball well beyond the sticks. So on second down, instead of the same type of conservative approach, just trying to maintain that, they decide to go beyond the sticks and they're practicing third down avoidance. We want to be conservative on first down and then we want to skip third down. And they're passing more than they're running, and they're structuring their plays in that sense. And it's definitely making dividends out on the field. We see how much scoring is up this year.
So I want to talk about scoring. I had another question, though, about the first four games. Give me a team. Give the people a team both ways. So a team that their record, they're a little worse than what their record says. You can't say the Bears. And then give me a team that they're better than what their record says.
Can we call the teams that are playing above, like ahead of their skis, can we call them fool's gold?
Yeah,
I love it when an announcer says,
"Sure,
well,
sure."
Who are your fool's gold?
Yeah,
teams?
and then give me the team that you're saying, "Oh, that team's 1-3 or 2-2," but really they're a lot better than that, and it will all kind of even out once the schedule changes.
Yeah, so I think the team, I think a team that's easy to say is better than what the record is the Philadelphia Eagles, because of how injuries have derailed them and the performance of Carson Wentz thus far in the season. This is definitely, when they get their offensive lineman back healthy, I mean, he played last game without his top three wide receivers. There's not many teams that are going to be able to go into San Francisco, and we've talked about this on your show before, about the circadian rhythm and how difficult it is for an East Coast team to play out on the West Coast in prime time. That home team out on the West Coast has the body clock advantage, particularly in the second half, and the Eagles were still able to get the job done with no receivers. I mean, he's throwing the ball to guys that literally Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels had no clue who these players were. They've never read their names before that very night when they had to study up on who is actually going to be out on the field. So I think they're a team that's definitely better than what the record is. Once they get healthier and once Carson settles into this offense, keep in mind, you know, this coaching staff is sort of evolving. They're adding some new thought processes to that coaching staff from a passing perspective. So it is going to take a little bit of time and repetition. So I'd say they're better. I'd say a team that's worse than what the record is, this one to me at least is pretty easy too. It's the Tennessee Titans. This is not a team that is undefeated 3-0 in the NFL. They're a team that barely was able to come back and beat the Denver Broncos, beat the Minnesota Vikings. This is a team that obviously now is being ravaged by some COVID situations. I don't know what their status is for the next few games. They might not even play this game this week. And so I don't think that this team is as good as what their record indicates right now.
Interesting. So last time you were on, we talked about field goal luck. Which teams have been way too lucky when it comes to making their field goals or having their opponents miss, as opposed to the teams that are the other way around that might have some field goal luck turn around a little bit on them in the next quarter of the season?
So that's a great question, and I should have been better prepared for that. But I have to take the blame on this one. I can't pull up the answers fast enough for you on that, but I will send you, PFD, a report on
that. Okay,
okay.
Right, I will be expecting that report.
A follow-up report.
Also, do you have a landline?
I do have a landline,
That is a power move. Yeah, like I heard the phone ringing. You know that that guy does business if he's getting calls on an old-school landline.
Yes.
That is
I have multiple cell phones plus a landline. So
damn. Nice flex.
Selling drugs.
Let's talk about the overs. The overs. There's a theory that it's a lot less holding calls, which makes sense. I think the lack of holding calls on offense have accounted for a point a game. What else is going on, and when can we expect it to kind of turn back on us? Which it actually kind of already has, because I think the overs on kickoff, the kickoff, like the line at the kickoff, have gone 0-7 in the last seven games played. So the afternoon slate and then the two Monday night games.
So definitely exactly like we discussed before, thinking that there would be overs. The most overs that have hit in the last 30 years, at least, could have been before that, but I don't have the data back prior to that. So we are at an all-time high with overs. And you're right, the big talk of the town, everybody's just been talking about the penalties. But the reality is, most of the reason why we're seeing higher point production is on account of a handful of teams that are doing things way more efficiently and getting better production, like a team like the Buffalo Bills, like a team like the Seattle Seahawks, like a team like the Green Bay Packers, who have definitely come out the gates, you know, just on fire and now I believe are on a bye week. But then you also have this fourth down aggression, and we're seeing way more teams go for it on fourth down. And from a betting perspective, it makes a lot of sense, because Big Cat, PFT, if you guys are betting on these games like I am, you know that when a team decides to go for it on fourth down, it almost always is beneficial to you, because what they're not doing is punting the ball. And so if a team is at midfield and decides to punt the ball, generally speaking, you're pinning the other team back. Whereas regardless of what happens on that fourth down play, somebody's getting the ball probably close to midfield, which is a lot for less distance to travel to score points, regardless of whether it's a converted fourth down or not. So you want teams to go for it on fourth down and make it. The only downside is, you know, if they're within field goal range, you decide to bypass that and then get nothing on that play. But most of the time, going for it on fourth down absolutely results in more points. And we're seeing a lot more teams going for it on fourth down and converting those, especially on fourth and one. The conversion rate is off the chain right now. So that's why we're seeing more points. To your question, though, about whether or not we're going to continue seeing games go over the total, that's an even more interesting discussion. So as you know, I have a computer model that helps generate what my point totals should be on these games. And then I look to see if there's any value. And that's where I make my wagers, where I do see enough of a value. And when week four's lines came out, I saw a ton of value in betting some overs. So we went and we pasted the board on Monday morning at like 10 a.m. We banged five games overs and we moved the number between 2 to 3 points on almost all of those games. And four of the games, we moved it. And one of the game, it really didn't move that much. And that happened to be the game that we lost. We ended up going 4-1 on those games. So I'm thinking, you know, we got great closing line value, which means, and this is something every sports bettor should strive to do, is time when you're placing your bets so that you can ensure that you get a better number than the line closes at. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to measure, am I on the right side of this bet? Did I do a smart thing? So we got great closing line value, 2.1 points per game on average, which is very difficult to do in the NFL. And we ended up having a good result. We went 4-1. So sitting here Sunday night after week four, so just a few days ago, thinking, okay, what games are these odds makers? What are they going to set their total at? We might do the same type of thing again. I looked at the board on Monday and compared it to what my numbers were Sunday night into Monday. And I saw very little value to overs this week, which means the odds makers intelligently sat here and listened to the entirety of last week, every single person in the media world talking about points being up and games going over the total. And so they decided to make a very aggressive move this week four and set the lines a lot higher than they did even last week compared to what they should be at. And so there's just not as much value across the board betting overs this week like there were the prior few weeks.
Yeah. Do your spreadsheets take into account the uniforms that the teams are going to be wearing?
No, I do not factor that. Have you found an angle on that?
Yeah, of course. Color rush uniforms, there's always, it feels like it's always an over.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
So there's, you might have an extra tab for that. PFT says it feels like an over.
I could have told you that the Bears, like if I had known they were wearing the orange uniforms, I would have told all my clients to pound the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I would have.
So that's not a good thing for the Bears wearing orange.
When they wear those oranges, I think they don't do. I mean, I have no statistical model to back that up. It's just a gut feel.
It's the eyeball
test. They just felt slower in it.
Well, we could get that information to them and see if they can make some changes.
When the Dolphins wear their all teal, that's candy ass, and they usually lose.
Mm-hmm. Fact.
Might just be the Dolphins lose a lot.
Yeah, the Dolphins lose a lot.
The Dolphins lose a lot. That's my stat.
The Dolphins have a grand, you guys know, Chan Gailey, he's a grandfather. He's been out of the NFL for years, and Grandpa Gailey is the one calling plays there. And this is a team, I don't know if you guys were on the Dolphins last week or not when the Seahawks played them, but they had every right to cover that game at a minimum.
We were.
And this team goes down there. They had five trips down inside, I think, to the 11, the 11, the 24, the 25, and the 27, and they kick field goals on every single one of those trips. Five field goals. You are not going to beat Russell Wilson doing that. Chan Gailey is using an old school philosophy and an old school book to how to play the NFL. And Brian Schottenheimer has moved to the new school book. They're going for it on fourth down. They're aggressively throwing the ball down the field. And so a team that's playing like that, you're not going to beat them playing conservatively and kicking these field goals. You have to try to change your stripes a little bit. And I'm not sure if Grandpa Gailey is going to be able to do that.
Yeah, they need to go to Tua anyway.
What about turnover luck? Have you been monitoring that?
I have been monitoring it. Again, it's going to have to be a report because I don't have the...
We'll take that offline.
Just that it's real.
We'll take that answer offline.
Turnover luck is real, right?
It's 100%. Turnover luck is 100% real. It's primarily fumble luck is definitely a key factor because when that ball is out, there's an expectation that one side of the ball is going to recover it slightly more than the other. But you definitely have certain teams based upon where the turnover is and how many guys they happen to have around the ball that just fall on it more often, and those things tend to regress to the mean across the board.
Yeah, and also just in like returning turnovers. I remember like the Bears, I think it was like 8 years ago, they started 7-1, I want to say, and it was every game they returned a pick six or a fumble score, and everyone was like, I don't think this can last, and of course it didn't, and everything fell apart because as soon as you don't get those points, it doesn't look the same.
Yeah, that was the peanut punch was correct. In that era, I yes. think. And they absolutely were doing a great job with that. And this is one of the things we've talked about on your show before. I would absolutely be coaching my team, especially on defense, when we get that takeaway. You have to try to figure out a way to block those offensive players. You got 300-plus-pound offensive linemen, only a couple fast guys on the football field at that point. We need to be scoring these plays. It's the easiest time to score points in the entire game. And so that's just a paramount importance. The Bears definitely practiced that in those years with your middle linebacker. What was his name? Number 50, Brian Urlacher. Yeah. And other and Lance Briggs. I mean, that was just like Smith, some great use of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they were definitely doing that.
There are certain guys, though, where the turnover luck eventually just becomes turnover habit. Like, you know, we joke around about Tyrann Mathieu and say, oh, that guy's always around the football. He's got a nose for the football. He actually kind of does.
He's a ball hawk.
Just saying somebody's a ball hawk. Sometimes you're saying that about a player that had a great season where they got, you know, 6-7 interceptions and they'll never have that again. With Mathieu, it's like he always is where the ball bounces. I don't know what it is about him, but he does have like a sixth sense. I don't know if it's even possible to quantify, but there has to be like some element of skill to always be around the ball all the time.
Well, people that tend to watch a lot of film understand the habits that the other team is going to use. So defenders that seem to be around the ball a lot are defenders that typically have watched a lot of film and understand where the ball is going to come. And then on that interception where Edelman tipped it in the Monday night game, you could definitely see, like, if he just lowered his head and went for a tackle, he doesn't get the ball. But he understands, like, this is just a swing pass. It's not going to gain very many yards anyways. Let me just play back a little bit and see what happens here. And sure enough, and Edelman has the highest drop rate in the NFL over the last couple of years. So he probably knew that, and he just knew that the outcome of the play, if he ran in for a tackle, is not really going to minimize the yards any more than if he just stood there and lets him gain extra yard. It's not a play that's going to be very productive. And he made the smart read on it. So Tyrann Mathieu is super smart.
Yeah. I've got kind of an open-ended question here, but I think it's very important. It's one that a lot of people are asking. So I'm just going to let you cook on it. The Dallas Cowboys, what the fuck?
Yeah. Look, I know that everybody is mad at Mike Nolan, and Mike Nolan certainly potentially got that job just as a favor. And, you know, you could read into those innuendos if you want to. They were not playing very well. They aren't playing aggressively. They do not appear to be trying hard on that side of the football. It's a defensive thing more than it's an offensive thing. Now, that being said, the offense is out of rhythm. We saw against Atlanta, one of the reasons why we thought they were a little bit out of rhythm was because, well, they were trying all these fake punts and they were trying these really aggressive strategies, and that led to some easy points from the Atlanta Falcons and gave up their opportunity to score points when they're making plays like that. So maybe that's not really the issue. Maybe the issue is just this decision-making from the coaching staff. But as we come to find, it's going to take a little bit more work from Mike McCarthy to figure out how to control this offense. And, you know, look, the guy openly lied on his job application to Jerry Jones. He completely admitted to the fact. He goes in and says, I watched every play. I watched the film. I studied the analytics in the offseason. Then his opening press conference, he comes back and says, by the way, I lied about all of that. I just wanted to get the job coaching the Cowboys. So that's a very bad start. And now we're seeing that maybe this guy was just chilling, you know, sipping daiquiris down somewhere and not really paying close attention to what he needed to. I think they're going to get back on track. One of the biggest issues is going to be their schedule gets a lot easier. Yep. They've played some ridiculously difficult offenses so far this season, which makes any defense look bad. And they've had injuries along the offensive line. They've had some players missing on the defensive side of the football. So I'm not sitting here with this team having a bad record right now, being in second place in the NFC East and selling them and writing them off right now. I still think they're going to be able to get things back on track, but they absolutely must get better effort from their defensive players. They've got to get better strategies on that side of the ball and offensively.
So the Washington football team pulling the plug on Dwayne Haskins, kind of bizarre because they're also, like I saw that he wasn't even taking snaps. Two-part question. One, was it too early to pull the plug on Dwayne Haskins from what you saw? And two, what is, generally speaking, there's no obviously rule of thumb here, but what is, generally speaking, the way you analyze quarterbacks, like how many games do you need to see out of them before you can be like, all right, this is what this guy is. I know what he is. It's going to be about this, and we can make a decision based off that.
Yeah, and that second question is very important because that's the thing that Scott Turner and Ron Rivera were not able to see from Haskins because they had no preseason work with the guy. So it's one thing seeing him in practice throwing passes against air, but it's another thing actually seeing him there in the games. And I think the bigger issue for Dwayne Haskins is simply – was he responding to the coaching? Because these guys have no allegiance to Dwayne Haskins. They didn't draft him. They want to build a winning program. And more importantly than just getting wins out on the football field, you know from how Ron Rivera like wants to build a culture there. It's about doing what the coaches are asking you to do and having some accountability to that. And from what I'm seeing and hearing, Dwayne Haskins was not able to respond to the coaching. Like they were asking him to make reads in a certain manner. They were asking him to get the ball out to these places. They were asking him to keep his eyes down the field. There's a lot of different things that they're asking him to do that week after week he was failing to do in the games. And at some point they're like, I don't know if this guy's ever going to quote unquote get it. Like, is this guy going to get it? Can he respond to what we're asking him to do? I think that's more important than his actual execution, because if you look at that game against the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, he throws for over 300 yards. And actually there's an interesting story behind that game. Like, without getting too detailed, like there was a impression and expectation that there was a good chance he's going to get benched at halftime.
Right.
And so there are a lot of props that you can bet on a quarterback. And so you can bet under completions and under passing attempts and under yards and under touchdowns and every which way you can bet Dwayne Haskins unders, especially good props if you think he could get benched, right? Sat down at halftime. And so a lot of those props are being bet towards the under. And he looks like crap in the first half. His first four drives are punt, turnover, punt, missed field goal. Now, the turnover wasn't his fault, but regardless, they have 0 points on the board. They're losing 14 to nothing. And they've got one more drive left in that half. And I'm fully convinced that if he does not go down the field 75 yards and score a touchdown, which he ends up doing, he ends up getting benched at halftime and all those props cash. But he goes down the field, scores that touchdown, gets to play the rest of the game, ends up going over on all of his props. And now, and the team decides to pull the plug the next week.
Yeah. How does it make sense that Ron Rivera is going to have this short of a leash on Dwayne Haskins, but the Washington football team did not make an effort to bring Cam Newton up there?
I guess they had to feel like Cam wasn't fully healthy. That could be my only expectation. If they thought that Cam wasn't fully healthy, or the only other thought process that they could have is they didn't want to rebuild from the ground up with a guy like Cam there. Maybe they viewed Cam, oh, he could be healthy for this year, right? But how's that going to work with Dwayne Haskins, who's already on our roster? We don't know if we like Haskins or not. We have to play him in order to see that. Will Cam be, and this is one thing I don't necessarily love about some teams, and I'm not inside building, so I don't know, maybe this is a real thing, but the thought process that like, a really good quarterback is going to mess up the locker room chemistry if we're going to sign him with the impression, and he knows it, that he's not going to be starting and he may get a shot, but it's not going to be now. Like, how could that still not work? How could we not find a world in which Cam wouldn't screw up the chemistry of that locker room? But I mean, for whatever reason, they just felt like him being there was not going to be conducive to finding out what they had in Dwayne Haskins. And they were optimistic that Dwayne Haskins could be something. I'm pretty confident that if they knew that Haskins was nowhere near close to being the start of this franchise, there would have been a bigger emphasis on bringing Cam in. But I do think that there is a school of thought that Cam, you might get a year or two or three out of Cam, but the injuries and the way he plays football might compound upon one another such that he's not your long-term answer at quarterback. And if they don't end up liking Haskins, they're fine with losing games. Their roster's not great overall. They want to get that number one overall quarterback. And what we've seen in New England, like Cam can come in and win games.
Yeah.
So
I find the Cam revisionist history so fucking lazy, though, because people are forgetting, one, he was injured. Two, we're in a pandemic, so you can't you can't bring him into the facility. Yeah, you could probably have a doctor go look at him, but you know how paranoid and weird NFL teams are. They're not going to take they have to have their doctor look at someone. And three, I think Cam, and rightfully so by Cam's in Cam's defense, is he wasn't going to go and compete for a job. I don't think he was ever competing against Jarrett Stidham. I think that was Belichick ruse. But he wasn't going to go. Like, if the Washington football team said, hey, Cam, you can come. We're not going to totally give up on Dwayne Haskins yet, so you have to compete for a job. Cam was like, I'm an MVP. I'm not competing for a job. Same with Chicago. Like, Cam had a right to say that. So this revisionist history that all these teams passed on Cam, I just don't buy it. I think Cam probably was like, I'm a starter. I'll go somewhere and prove it. But I'm not going to go compete against someone and not be guaranteed a starting
job. I think it's a little bit different. I do think that you can't say that about like 32 teams, obviously. But with Ron Rivera and bringing up the entire offensive coaching staff, I think that like if they would know more than anybody else what Cam was like, what his present condition was like. If they didn't bring him in, I totally got that. I didn't want to bring Cam to D.C. for just those reasons that we talked about, which was, you know, like he might still be hurt or you don't want to undermine a young quarterback. I get that. But it just seems like if that was your long play in D.C. to see what we have in Haskins, you know, going 3.5 games or 4 games doesn't really give you the body of evidence to know whether or not he's the guy for the future.
Well, they couldn't see him, though. They didn't. But there's no preseason.
They still, yeah.
There's no training camp.
I'm saying like 4 weeks is a very short amount of time to give him. If their whole plan was to say, like, we're going to see if Dwayne Haskins is good. We don't want to risk bringing somebody else in to undermine him. Now, if it's like the 49ers or a team like that, I understand not bringing Cam Newton in. If it's a team that has like anywhere close to an established quarterback, I get why you wouldn't. And it is lazy to be like, well, you know, all 32 teams passed on Cam and let Belichick get him. That's not the case. But I think that there is, just based on Rivera and Turner and the offensive coaching staff, with D.C., it just seems a little weird how this whole thing is shaken out.
Weren't Rivera and Cam on the best terms, though, at the end? They weren't, like,
I don't know specifically. I think I did see some things about that, you know, and he obviously wishes him well at the end.
Right.
But I think, to back to PFT's point on this, I do think that the reason ultimately why they are sitting Haskins down is not just that he's not winning games for them. It's that he's not responding to the teaching and the coaching.
Right.
Like, he's not doing what they're asking him to do. And I don't know that it's like an example being set of him, but I think it's more so that we can't allow this to continue. If this guy's not doing what we ask him and we try to work with him over and over and over again, and the other thing I'm hearing is that they think that there's a shot to win the NFC East because it's such a bad division that they want to see what this other guy is going to be able to do, Josh Allen, if he's going to be able to come in here and do anything.
That to me means that I can't begrudge Ron Rivera here because he had no idea. With in a normal world, if he had OTAs, if he had, you know, training camp, he probably would have known this like a long time ago that Dwayne Haskins doesn't look the way he wants him to look and he doesn't respond to the coach in the way he wants. But they probably went in with great intentions and it just didn't work.
I don't disagree with that. I think they really wanted Dwayne Haskins to work out. That would have been in their best interest.
Right.
They've got a franchise quarterback. He's going to be able to win games for them. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. The NFC East has the Cowboys and the Eagles. Those are teams that are going to be very good. But at least they've got the stepping stones for building a franchise here in D.C. And obviously, you know, we see that Dwayne Haskins may not be the guy for them.
So yeah. Based on what you've seen so far from Dwayne Haskins, and I think that's probably right, because if there was like – if they thought that he was not the guy, they probably would have at least considered trying to trade down or drafting Tua back in the NFL draft. But based on what you've seen from Dwayne Haskins, can you just tell me, should I move on? Just mentally, I need to know, because I'm scarred from the Jason Campbell experience where it was like, just give him one more year. He's showing signs of progression. I'm scarred from that. I got PTSD from Jason Campbell. Should I just rip the Band-Aid off and say, Dwayne's not the guy?
I think that it's going to take a lot for Dwayne the rest of the season to get back to the point where you could say he is the guy. So I think for right now, for your own mental health, mm-hmm. you should assume he's not the guy and move forward and don't pay him another thought. Okay. Don't waste your time or your stress on him. And then if he reappears and he's playing much better, then you can start maybe trying to fall back in love with
him. There you go. I'm going to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind myself. I'm going to remove that part of all Dwayne Haskins' knowledge. And then if I get reintroduced to him, I might be like, oh, who's this guy? I really like this guy. So, okay, thank you for saying that. That's very good for me.
All right, so I had one last question, Warren. Since we're going to run this on Friday, can you give us maybe a quick breakdown of Sunday Night Football from a gambling perspective for the people?
Yeah, so Sunday Night Football, right now the Seahawks are favored by 7 points. Total is 57.5, so we'll see if those lines are still there. The Seattle Seahawks offense is one of the most productive in the NFL, but nobody really is paying close enough attention to the Minnesota Vikings offense, which is quietly doing significantly better because they've got Justin Jefferson involved in that passing game. I have no idea why they decided not to incorporate him early enough into weeks 1 and 2, but this is actually a team I use an early down success rate metric is one of my favorite metrics to use. And the Minnesota Vikings offense actually ranks number one in that metric, which is essentially revolving around bypassing third downs. And one of the reasons is it's in part like because they've been losing in these games, so they've had to turn it on a little bit quicker. But they're actually having a lot of success throwing the ball down the field. I think Seattle heading into a bye next week, so they play this week, then they have a bye. I'm curious to know how many of their defensive players are actually going to try to rush back for this game, and then they're going to be on a bye next week. I think just like we saw in Green Bay with Davante Adams, you may see some of these guys just sat down to be determined, and that will help the Vikings offense even further. But the bigger question that I have for the Vikings offense, we can say everything golden about them that we want to. We got Kirk Cousins not playing at 1 p.m. here, and that's the biggest storyline. Is this primetime issue with Kirk Cousins and how he struggles tremendously, will he be productive in this spot? We know that there's not going to be any crowd noise. We know that there won't be any fans. Was he just scared of the fans? Was he getting concerned because people were booing him or yelling at him and he'll play better without fans? Or was it simply the fact that he's such a creature of habit, as we've heard him say before, that any game that's not at 1 p.m., it throws off his daily routine and he can't figure out how to operate in this changed time condition? So hopefully it's not the latter and he actually plays a good game here, but which would be equally as funny because he gets so scared. It's like a guy shooting a free throw in a high school gym. You guys have both probably done that, and you're at a road game and you're playing high school ball and the crowd's getting on your case and you just kind of tense up. Maybe you guys have ice in your veins.
Yeah, I do.
But you know, that Kirk Cousins might be that type of quarterback. So but I think that the Seahawks offense, there's clear advantages for them to push the ball down the field. Super high total right now. And we'll have to see if there's going to be some rain involved. But I think we got two defenses that can be taken advantage of here. And if you look at that Miami-Seattle game from last week, the one thing you should take away is 5 trips within field goal range, 5 field goals for the Seahawks. For the Dolphins. Grandpa Gailey settled for those. Will the Minnesota Vikings offense be a lot more aggressive in those spots? Go for it on fourth down, try to punch it into the end zone. If they stay with a more aggressive game plan, it's going to be hard to see this game really petering out and not being entertaining unless it's entirely hinged upon Kirk Cousins can't play any time other than 1 p.m.
You mentioned the rain real quick. I've always heard, and maybe this is just from Big Cat because we talk about the rain versus the snow versus the wind, that the wind affects the point total more so than anything else. What about the rain? What does rain do?
Rain can be a definite factor from two different perspectives. Number one, light drizzle, really not an issue. Light drizzle, the surface of the field sometimes gets a little bit slick, which can actually help players and that know where they're running.
Yeah.
Cut, and then the defenders fall, right? But the two areas that it's a bigger question mark is if you have heavier rain, that definitely makes it more difficult. And I think it actually, nobody talks about this, but I think it actually impacts certain quarterbacks differently than others, not just from a hand size perspective and their ability to throw the ball, but how accurate they are with passes. Because as you guys know, if you're playing in the rain and you're trying to reach up and extend yourself, you can't really make one-handed catches or these big extension catches in the rain. But if you have a quarterback who's throwing it on target right between the numbers, yeah, those balls are easier to catch in the rain. So it could hurt certain quarterbacks more more than others. Go back and look up some of the splits from Russell Wilson in the rain. It's not going to be pretty what he typically has done in the rain, which is shocking, actually, because he's a good quarterback and his hands are actually, I think, a decent size. But in the rain, he hasn't played as well. And the other thing that this factors into is the coaching philosophy, because some coaches end up instantly, we see some rain out on the field and we're like, okay, this is going to be a tough game. We're going to have to grind it out. Maybe more run plays on early downs. Let's be careful. Points are going to be at a premium. So they enter the game with that sort of philosophy, and it just leads to lower points across the board, because coaching matters tremendously from the result of a game. And if you got a couple of coaches or even one who's like, we're going to play more conservatively than we normally do, we don't want to pass the ball as much, we want to run the ball more, we're okay with punting the ball, we just don't want to turn it over, like, that will tremendously kill a total, especially one that's at 57.5.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really, really high. All right, well, Warren, thank you as always. At Sharp Football on Twitter, you can listen to his podcast. You can find him sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharpfootballstats.com. Be a smarter football fan with Warren Sharp. Mm-hmm. You owe us two reports. And what's the other one?
The field goal luck, the turnover, and the
turnover luck.
All right.
Turnover luck and field goal luck. I'll get those reports to you by the end of the day.
No, you can do
and
it also, Friday. Tweet it out Friday when we post the show.
I'll tweet out Friday. And also, since your Bears are 3-1, I don't know when we're going to have another great record. Hopefully it's soon and they're going to do even better things. But we'll give 31% off anything. Just use PMT31.
Oh,
if
I
anybody
like that.
Wants 31% off,
I like
PMT31.
It. Beautiful. All right, Warren, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
We'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, guys.
That interview with Warren Sharp was brought to you by our great friends over at Roman and Roman Swipes. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, but counting backwards from 10 doesn't always work. It can just remind you too much of a countdown to liftoff. Hank, don't say it. I know you're thinking about saying it. Don't say it. But Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer. Don't say it. If you're trying to delay your own explosion in bed, do not do that. I would use Roman Swipes instead. You can last longer. They're effective. They're easy to use. They're fast-acting, but they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging. That way your postman doesn't know. That's always embarrassing. If you're like, hey, here's your dick medicine, sir. You want to make a clear line of demarcation between you and your postal carrier. They don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, you swipe it on, let it dry, you're good to go. That's it. Easy as that. Go to GetRoman.com/take. You're going to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take. Get your first month for $5 when you choose their monthly plan. And now, Bethany Frankel.
And now for something completely different.
Do you know who we are?
Nope. Do you know who I am?
I am a big fan of yours.
I know about you.
Yeah, I'm a watcher of Real Housewives, but we'll also give you some tips on podcasting. We've been doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. We're number one sports podcast. So not to brag. Yeah, not to brag.
I'm Andy Cohen's neighbor, so if you screw up,
true?
I'm going to tell him. Yeah,
we
yeah,
actually
the
had.
City?
Yeah.
He lives like just about across the street from me.
Wow, you guys are the number one. Let me just look at you guys. I can't really see.
Yeah, we're
okay.
Pretty,
you guys
we also had a TV show that got canceled after one episode that was taped out of Embassy Row, right where Andy's stuff is.
Well, let's go. Can I ask you? How do you get canceled after one episode? How the fuck did you do that?
Well, it's not our problem. If it's one episode, it's on them. Yeah. If it was like three or four episodes, then we'd have to take a long look in the mirror.
Yeah,
we were too risque. Yeah.
We're the bad boys of sports television. ESPN2.
I like it. Okay, I'm here for this.
All right, we're good to go. All right, let's do this.
Let's just leave that in. Right. That was nice. Yeah. That was a good intro.
Right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is philanthropist, entrepreneur, author, producer. You've maybe seen her on television. It is Bethany Frankel. She also has a new podcast, which is out now, Just Be with Bethany Frankel. Bethany, thank you for joining us. I'm a huge fan. Exciting to have you on. We're trying to do range, you know what I mean? We talk a lot of sports, we have NFL, and then we have Bethany Frankel on to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
I think range is good. I actually think that's smart. It's true. I mean, listen, let's see if I can hang. I'm not sure, but we'll see what we got going.
So I asked a lot of friends what I should ask you because I don't watch a show. I've never watched Real Housewives. That's on me. I'm not saying it's a bad show. I might enjoy it if I sat down and watch it.
It's a very bad show. I'm not on it anymore, but it's not going to raise your IQ any, you know, but so we're good.
That's fine. Mine can't get any lower to begin with, so I'm good. But people would tell me, like, be careful with her. She can be mean. She can be feisty. I went back. I've watched some interviews with you. I've watched you some clips of the show on TV, and I don't think that you're mean. I think you're very direct, and I think you don't care what other people think about you. So my first question is, how do you do that? Because I want that.
It's very liberating. It's sort of like being honest. You just know that you can just live in that, because if you're honest, you never get jammed up. You're cool. If you don't really care, you know, it's better to be, there's no gray in this life. I mean, so it's black or white. I'm polarizing, and that's okay. It would be worse for me. It's okay if I'm not liked. It would be bad if I were not trusted. So that would really bother me. But I'm definitely trusted. I am absolutely direct. I'm intense. And I wonder, and I'm not one of these women that talks about like what women don't get and what men get, etc. But I actually, I think I'm more like a man. And I wonder if I were a man, if they would even say what you just said, you know. But polarizing would probably be something that people would definitely say. I mean, I had a big meeting here at my house yesterday with seven guys, and they get nervous a little bit. I mean, I can be a little intense.
You are intimidating. You are intimidating because you are extremely, extremely successful, and you do get what you want. I am a fan of the show. You're not on it anymore, like you said, but I've watched every episode of Real Housewives of New York. I have a reality TV behind-the-scenes question. How many times when you were on it would you watch the episode and be like, wait, that's not how it happened? Like, the edit drives me nuts here. It's out of your control. Did that happen, or, you know, did it happen often? What was that like?
No, what happens is they crystallize with a narrative, but like a blind date. You could go on a blind date with someone for an hour and a half, and you come home and you just basically explain like the bottom line. You're like, she shit her pants at the table. She, you know, ordered a lobster, and she said something really nice about my hair. And like, that's what the episode's going to show. So a bunch of other things could have happened on that date, but it's kind of just like a crystallization. It's gotten more manufactured over the years. And I think it is different now than it was then. And I do hear that from many areas of the franchise, where when I went on, you didn't even put hair and makeup on. You sort of just winged it. You didn't have to go over the top to create drama. Just nuance was very dramatic. And now, you know, someone throws a leg, or someone rips a weave out, or everybody's got to top each other. And it becomes a little more manufactured. People aren't really friends, but they have to sort of produce them as if they're friends. So it's a very strange dynamic, because you're living in this world, and these things that you're arguing about are very important to you within this microcosm, but in no other situation of your life would they be important. The minute you walk off that show after 4 months, you couldn't give a good fuck about any of these people or what you were talking about, but it's what you're doing right there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, what about, though, the trip? My favorite part of every season is the trip. When it's like, things are going too well with the ladies, let's all go to Mexico, drink a lot of booze, and fight for 3 days. Did you know that before you would go on the trip every year, being like, gotta get ready, this shit is gonna get wild?
Okay, so to give an analogy to sports too, what I was just describing is sort of like, I imagine people who are on a field together who in that moment, they're killing each other and resolving things with their teammates or whatever, and then opposing, you know, an opposition to others with a goal, and the coach has a goal. But like when they get off the field, they go home, they hang with their kids and they live their life. And it's like, that's not what they're dealing with. They think about it and press is coming out about it and they're like dealing with it. But that's that. So to answer the next question, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Like after the game, you're like, okay, good game. Like now I'm going to go and live my life.
Yeah. I hate that motherfucker, but I don't have to live with them. So who cares? Like, or I love that person or whatever in that. So, but then the trips are designed to put you in a pressure cabin,
yes,
together with everybody,
yes,
to work through and bring up every issue. And it's sort of like a drawing room comedy where you'll cut to one room and see these two people talking about that. And then one person will come out and tell everybody in the group situation what that person happens. And then a little fight starts. And so it's like little mini forest fires that with any luck for production begin a big giant one big fire for the finale of what this thing is. And then for the last night, they would hope to contain the fire. And then they'll still be like remnants of the fire when everybody gets home.
Right.
Yeah. So even though you could be going to Morocco or Des Moines or Newark, New Jersey, and it doesn't matter to me. Certain people on the show that are losers get excited about these vacations to these foreign places when it doesn't matter where you are, because it's going to be the most disgusting experience of arguments and toxicity that it wouldn't matter to me. Like, I'd almost rather not be somewhere nice because I don't want to experience Bali in this way where it's all about conflict and craziness. And you don't even take a call from like your spouse or your boyfriend. Like, you're in the zone. You're literally, that's your Super Bowl. You're not taking side phone calls. You're just like making moves, running plays. You know, you're just, this is, you're just, and it's kill or be killed.
Yes.
It's like, this is just kill or be killed. And that's what they, why they design it. And it's always before we go on the trip, I want to invite you all. I think we should all relax. But I don't want any drama.
Yes.
I don't want any drama.
Yes.
You know, which is like, then there's no drama and the producers are burning the show to the ground. I mean, it's just
a, that's a great answer. I love it. I love the behind the scenes reality show because it's just so funny how the trip always just gets insane.
I also just love the term pressure cabin. I think that's what we should call our studio from now on. The Cash App pressure cabin. Like that sounds awesome.
Well, wait, you guys should film a bunch of you like bros that are animals that like, I don't know if you have girlfriends or wives, but like the way you really act when you're eating beer, I mean, eating wings and being gross and like put yourself in a pressure cooker. There will be some fights if it were a certain amount of days. We're like 3-4 days and a bunch of sports things going on and maybe bets going.
Yeah.
Something will happen.
You described,
our business, our entire business model. Yeah, we literally do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't eat as much beer as I used to. Actually, I'm going to try doing that. I'm going to try freezing beer and eat. Sounds delicious.
Bethany is so smart as a businesswoman. She invented Barstool Sports just now.
That's
without realizing it.
But so before you became known to America, you were an entrepreneur for a while, but I guess you were introduced to the nation really on Martha Stewart's Apprentice. Is that right? So
that was my first. Yeah.
When you were like preparing to do that, or even before you knew that you were going to be on reality television, would you sit around watching reality TV and criticizing the moves that people would make and think of the strategies that you would use if you were to find yourself on that side of the camera?
No. And there really wasn't reality TV then. There might've been like The Real World years ago, which was different. But The Apprentice was pretty innovative. That's the first time I had ever heard of anything like that. And this wasn't the Celebrity Apprentice. This was the Bill Rancic Go Sell Lemonade Apprentice. And then I was on the Martha Stewart version. So again, it had the sensibility of the first round of Housewives for me, where it was just so authentic and so real. And it was like young kids like striving for a dream, just panic stricken, had never seen a camera and were sleeping in a place where we didn't have phones or television or newspapers for months. No walls where we slept, all light. If you went to the bathroom, they were following you, like just another pressure cooker. So it was like real intense business competition. Now other shows, whether it's Big Brother or whatever shows they have, they're all derivative. You know, it's hard to keep recreating that. So the answer is absolutely not. And certainly for Housewives, because it was not called Housewives. It was called Manhattan Moms. I wasn't even a mom. And I was like this question mark sort of Carrie Bradshaw character that no one knew what was going to happen with me. So it was so natural. And that's sort of how I like to do things. That's why I never like to do something that's been done before. So my new show, The Big Shot with Bethany, which is a much more modern and realistic version of The Apprentice, is unlike any other show before. And I need everything I do to be like that. I had never listened to a podcast in my entire life. I still haven't until I did mine. Not to be selfish to the genre. It's just that I didn't want to know anything. I want to do it like my own. I want to do it my own way and be fresh and just say, fuck it.
So about your podcast, Just Be with Bethany Frankel. So you never listen to a podcast. Do you know how to find a podcast?
No, I've never subscribed to a podcast. No, and a lot of my listeners who I've brought in, which I liken to HSN. HSN has me on a lot because not only do I sell well, but I bring in a new audience. So I've brought in a lot of new people to podcasts overall, like a ridiculous number of people that have never done it. You're welcome. No,
thank you. You put money in our pocket. Yeah. Hell
Steady
yeah.
Bowling Alley, who doesn't even know how to subscribe. Like, literally. Yeah, you're welcome.
Betty Bowling Alley is going to listen to this show, and she's going to like be like, these two guys are the funniest fuckers ever. Mm-hmm. Subscribe.
I like you guys.
Yeah.
I like you guys.
I like you too.
You got a good vibe.
Ooh, I like that. Good vibe's always a good thing. So who, guests that you're going to have on, dream guests, what's the direction of the podcast?
When is this airing? Because I don't know if I'm allowed to say. So I have had Mark Cuban. I've had Andy Cohen and Paris Hilton and Maria Shriver and Ryan Murphy. And I think we booked Sharapova. And I booked Pharrell, if I'm allowed to say it, and Chris Henchy. And a lot of pretty sick people. But I just booked somebody that's like mind blown crazy. To say A-list would be like belittling. Like we're all like, holy fucking shit! Like the big, so I can't say that now. I don't think
Andy Reid.
Leo DiCaprio.
I wouldn't even. I mean, respectfully, I don't know if Leo's built an actual business. Like I would have him maybe, but all these people have to. Dana White. We had UFC. Oh, we had Dana White. Okay. You have to have been. Yeah, he's extraordinary. So I would book him. Extraordinary, visionary, mogul, game changer. Started from the bottom. Now we're here. It's not really just about fame. So, yes, I would book Leonardo DiCaprio, obviously, but no, respectfully to Leonardo DiCaprio, much more insane than him.
Cardi B.
Ooh.
No, she's built a business, and that would be very great. We'd be very excited. Like Pharrell, this is better. Third chance.
Jay-Z.
Eric Trump.
No, but Jay-Z is... Jay-Z's bucket list of this. Jay's because he is a mogul and a business person, and so is Dr. Dre. But no, but I'll let you know next week after we film it.
Okay, we actually just got texted the answer, but we're not going to say it because we respect you.
Is that true?
Yeah, we did. We got respected. Our PR person knows, but we like you so much, we're not going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But good get.
So that's pretty cool, right?
She's great.
Yeah, good job.
And
he
that's
or
a
he.
Game changer.
Yeah, we'll keep it ambiguous. Say who it is. Nice. All right, so that's great. So everyone should subscribe. Thank you for bringing more people to the podcast world. Just Be with Bethany Frankel. I have a couple other quick questions about Real Housewives. I don't know if you want to answer all these, but
sure.
It's ridiculous that she still goes by the Countess, right?
Yes, but you know. What the hell is a countess anyway to begin with? Like Meghan Markle was a briefcase girl, and she's now a duchess because she married into it. So forever she'll be, but now she's not a duchess. Like who gives a good fuck? So I'm, you know what I mean? I'm a fairy princess. I'm the fairy princess now, and forever you're gonna call me the fairy princess. It doesn't even matter.
No,
what is it all?
It just title. Yeah. I mean, for people who don't watch the show, Countess Luanne de Lesseps. So she married French royalty. I don't even know some made up title.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
A guy who is a count.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They give out titles a lot. I think not. It's just I don't know what any of that stuff. You know what I mean? It's, like what it all means. It's like a socialite thing to me. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right. And so in the first ever season, Bethany called Luanne by her name, Luanne. And Luann pulled her aside and was like, when we're in public, please say Countess.
It's Countess.
Yes.
I actually,
and then she's been divorced from the Count for a long time, but still goes by the Countess.
I can kind of understand that because how many Countesses do you meet? You know, like that's a title that it sounds like you're evil. It sounds like people
should. I think you lose it when you're not married to the Count anymore.
I agree that you probably have to give it up, but if you are currently married,
You have to wrestle the new countess.
You should have to wear like a big cloak, like a big black cloak everywhere you go, and wear dark makeup.
Or be the reality star formerly known as Countess, and go like the prince route.
Yes. Okay, so that was one, and the other one was, what's worse, not inviting someone to your party or not showing up to a party that you were invited to? Because I feel like 80% of the fights on Real Housewives is essentially like, you didn't invite me to your birthday party, or I invited you to my birthday party and you didn't show, and that's really the genesis of most fights.
You're the greatest, okay? I say this all, but it's, let me go a little deeper. It's, these are people that can't stand each other,
right?
Just so you know. Can't stand each other. So I'm very big on both. I'm very big on not inviting, and I'm very big on not wanting to be invited, okay? That said, the people around me, you know, and I would have thought, you know, you didn't support me.
Yes.
And you didn't come and support me. And I supported you. And I came to your thing. It's like, I don't want you at my thing. And I don't want to be at your thing. And that was one of the reasons I had to leave the show. In my mind, a very small reason. There's a much bigger picture. But like, I don't want to go to things that I don't, with these people that I don't want to go to. I would never go to these things for these people if I weren't on the show having to be with these mm-hmm. people.
Yes, the support in the Real Housewives world is quite literally showing up to a party in the Hamptons, drinking a flute of champagne and eating like a stuffed mushroom. That's support.
But a fake event that was from a business that's not real unless you had the show.
Right.
There's a show, so you created the business to have content on the show.
Uh-huh.
And the people that you become friends with on the show have to come to support you in that business that and that event that wouldn't happen unless the show helped coordinate it.
So yes. By support, it's just show up so that other people can see you at my fake event. And then they'll think that my fake business is good because my fake friend was here.
Yeah, and it's a great low-hanging fruit argument on a reality show.
Yeah.
You didn't support me. It's a great low-hanging fruit argument. Like, she didn't come, and she told you that she was with her daughter sick, but I saw her at the Olive Garden downing breadsticks.
Right, right.
And I have the receipt to prove it. I have a photo of her at the Olive Garden downing breadsticks. The next scene is, you know, the producer saying, go tell, you know, Chanel that, you know, you've got the receipts. And you know that she was at the Olive Garden because, you know, they were had a drought on fucking salad dressing.
Right, right. I get that. You, on the other hand, have a very real business, one that I was already well aware of before I even was introduced to Bethany Frankel, which is Skinny Girl Margarita. I enjoy Skinny Girl. I feel like a fraud if I'm drinking it because I'm not a skinny girl. Is there any room in the market for like a thick dumbass margarita?
Yeah.
Zoftig sports fan. Well, the Skinny Girl Margarita became a whole line, and I sold the cocktail portion of that business. So I don't own it anymore, but a lot of men drink it just like men watch Housewives because their wives drink it. So the women are the purchasers of the households. So the men drink it. I don't own that brand anymore. I own 100% of the Skinny Girl brand, except for alcohol. That was my big sort of cash out exit. And it was very creative of me and innovative to say, you can have that, but I'm keeping the rest of it. So for example, Grey Goose, when they sold, they don't get to keep the intellectual property and the name and make other things out of it. And Sky Vodka, and I can name 50 brands that don't do that. So I get to go make jeans and salad dressings and popcorn and preserves and everything else in the brand Skinny Girl that I own. So that was a pretty baller business move, but I still have the rest of my Skinny Girl stash at my house, and men do drink it.
Yeah, yes. It's tasty.
Yes. Do you ever look in the mirror and you're like queen, just look at yourself like, yes, queen.
I like myself, and I like myself.
Yeah, you do.
I like myself more. I would be want to be friends with myself because I'm very honest. And I own it, and I don't ask anybody to do anything I haven't done myself, and I work really hard, and I'm a really good and centered mom, and I am honest about who I am and where I am in my life and how old I am and what I look like, and I just don't front. And so I like to be friends with people like that, and mm-hmm. I like to laugh a lot, and comedy is first. Comedy is the first priority. So I'm cool with who I am, you know, I'm tough too, which is nice. And I feel like it's good for my daughter to see those aspects of me in addition to just my sense of humor and being very nurturing to her. So I like myself.
Yes. Do you want to run for president?
Ooh.
Well, a lot of people have said I should run for mayor or president, but to be perfectly honest, I don't think I'm not knowledgeable enough about foreign policy, but I know you can get people around you to help you. And if you know what you don't know, you can get very far. I've done, you know, over like $70 million in relief work worldwide. And people have said I've gotten more done. Not people have said I've gotten infinitely more done than the government has gotten done in the time that I did it. Not even a question, with all kinds of disasters, but that's only one area of politics. I'm not great at like schmoozing 10,000 people in a row. Like, I don't think I would like touching so many people and just being fake and phony, but I'd be good at the game. And I'm really in pajamas 90% of the time. And so I don't think that, I think I'd have to like, I don't like being handled all the time. Like, you got to do this, and then you got to go there, and then you got to be this, and we got to put the main. I don't like being touched and handled all the time, so I don't know if I'd like that part. But doing the running the country, I think I could absolutely do.
Yeah,
but the notion of what it's like to be at work is changing so quickly, and especially in the last 6 months with the pandemic. So much stuff is done remotely. I think there's less handling going on in general. You have a great social media presence that you could use to connect directly to people, so you don't have to worry about going to as many fake schmoozy events. And plus, I think that there's like a certain amount of, you know, it's refreshing to deal with somebody and you can tell that they're not schmoozing you. You know, you can tell when somebody's just being authentic. Yeah.
I'd be the honest politician and be able to figure out how to play the game without being corrupt and not bullshitting everybody 100%. I just don't know how you go about being the president. I mean, if somebody that was important came in and like picked me up from my house and took me to the place I'm supposed to go and filled out the paperwork for me because I'm not good at that, then I would apply and see if I got the job. But I also don't like leaving my daughter. But I guess there'd be like a nice, fun bus that she could be on and homeschool. So, yeah, I would give you a whole house.
Yeah. They do give you a whole house.
Yeah, I'd love to renovate Gracie Mansion or the White House, and I could get a lot of things done. But people would be like, I'd have to get a real education on foreign policy and certain issues. But I guess that's what everybody – I just wouldn't be full of shit about it. I'd be like, if you want to get things done and be wise and be strategic, I'm very good at that. That I'm an executor. So that – not of people, but of ideas. So that would be – that I could handle for sure. But I just would need someone to guide me.
So you just mentioned like doing the paperwork would suck. I read that your biggest financial regret is you just filled out the paperwork wrong on when you made your business and it cost you millions of dollars. How did you not have someone else do that for you?
I did. It's not that I felt what happened was when I was doing the Housewives, at a certain point I had a lawyer and the Housewives said to be on the Housewives, you had to get paid in a certain way based on whatever my job or business was then. Like, it takes a while to set up like your corporation or your LLC or S Corp. And I'm not good at that kind of stuff. And I don't pretend to be. So, but then I was just a personal entity being paid through a reality show. So I guess I signed up for, I think it was either S Corp or I had been an LLC. I don't remember. I still don't remember, but I signed up. I checked the box to be whatever that was. Well, then I started Skinny Girl and did all these other things and had good agents, but I didn't have, you know, like I have now, $700 an hour lawyers, you know? And by the way, it doesn't even matter if I did. Lawyers and agents miss things all the time. And everybody who's listening needs to understand that you be a concept person and you be minding the whole shop and understanding, because I find mistakes all the time in deals and things that I would have gotten fucked on all the time. So anyway, I kept moving and grooving and selling my margaritas and, you know, to my surprise, Beam came and they wanted to buy it, and it was a very lucrative deal, and it took months to negotiate the deal. And even if I had, in the middle of negotiating the deal, realized it would have been called clawback. You can't go clawback and uncheck a box because you're on another road. So when I found out we sold and got the money, the check I got was March 17th, 2010, and March 18th, I'll never forget it, I was on an elliptical, and I don't know, sometimes things hit me in a weird time, and I just, something hit me and I realized it, or someone said something to me and I realized that I had been registered as X. So I had to be paid as X. And it was millions of dollars, like a house in the Hamptons, millions of dollars, like a big house.
Shit. Damn. Yeah. Paperwork's the worst. I hate that shit.
We need to move on from paper. We need to become a post paperwork society.
Right. And you also should, like, I think in society, you should be like, yo, my bad. Like, I just filled out this thing. Like, everyone hates paperwork. No one's paying attention. There should be just a little bit of a, you know, it's okay. You fucked up. Like, let's just fix it.
Rebrand the clawback as the just, my bad.
Yeah, my bad.
I screwed up. Hand up. That's on me. Let's make it right.
Yes.
Right. You sound a little bit like Seth Rogen sometimes. Just then you did.
Who?
Which one of us?
PFT.
You.
Which one?
Yeah.
Me?
Short hair.
Me.
Short hair.
Big cat.
Got it. Me. Yeah. I've gotten Jonah Hill.
Talk about DMT.
DMT.
You ever go elk hunting?
Yeah, all right, Bethany, what is up with Be Strong? That's coming out soon too, right?
No, Be Strong is the philanthropic
initiative
I discussed where
too many B words. Yeah. You got you got Just Be, you got Be Strong, you got what's the HBO show?
Well, that's the big shop, but my production company is Be Real.
There you go. Okay. That's a great name. Yeah.
So the philanthropy, I have done relief work all over the world for disaster relief, like being the first one on the ground to basically, you know, we flew 53 planes in and out of Puerto Rico filled with aid, and then multiple barges and millions of dollars and like 15 million pounds of aid. The Bahamas, we did a similar massive effort, like major efforts. 100% goes to the initiative. So there's no confusion as to where money's going. And I'm very transparent. So I'm always keeping people connected about where money, their money's going, so they have a good return on their investment. And for coronavirus and for the pandemic, I just thought we were going to give out 20,000 kits for sanitization and prevention. But what ended up happening was I ended up distributing aid to all PPE to all 50 states. We did 2.1 million hazmat suits and masks, and 2.1 million hazmat suits and masks, over $20 million of PPE to hospitals and police stations and to people all over the country, saving people's lives before the government could kind of, you know, pull it together. So it's pretty awesome. Gnarly. It was pretty intense. It was very corrupt, and it was very much hacking your way through corruption, and it was really insane.
That's crazy. Great.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Good for you. It seems like you just – All your companies and all your ventures, you just dominate the letter B.
Yeah.
You own the letter B.
Yeah.
I own the letter B.
Do you come up with all your names by yourself?
I'm the biggest namer. No matter what it is, you tell me some idea for a show in 5 minutes, I'm like, I got the name. I'm really good with names.
Okay. Okay, pack of sled dogs, and one of them is going through puberty, and they have to save a town. Yeah.
Blood dog.
Oh, that's very close. That'll be the PG version of it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You said before we got started that you were really into horse racing. You grew up around horses a lot. I'd just like to have you back on to give like your Kentucky Derby picks and Belmont picks and Preakness picks.
I'd love to be. How many women come on? I'd love to. I like
all
to be.
All the time.
They do?
Yeah.
All right. Now I don't feel special. Sorry.
You're the only one. You're the only one. We don't
talk
to girls.
I never do this with anyone.
Exactly. This is
our first time.
Wow.
Barbara Corcoran. We have our Kelly, who set this up, who, shout out Kelly, she's the best. She's now typing all the names of women that we've had on to remind us. Lindsay Vonn, the list keeps going.
Yeah, Rachel Nichols.
It literally goes for hours and hours and hours.
Layla Ali.
Yeah, fact. Oh, Rose. Cool.
Rose Lavelle from the U.S. Women's National Team, world
now
champions.
Now you're going to make me competitive, so you can stop telling me all the girls you've slept with. I'm not really
basically.
Interested
we basically. I don't, we're not really brunette types. We're like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just. Yeah, that's okay.
It's probably not for you.
One last question from me. What was the favorite tagline you ever had? Because you are creative.
If you're going to take a shot at this bee, you better not miss.
Oh, that's good. I love the taglines.
She'll
the
sting
show.
You.
They're so bad. They're so bad and they're so good. Like, they're like, you're going to either love me or hate me. There's no in between.
Well, they also mix metaphors. Kyle said, Beverly Hills, the cream rises to the in Beverly Hills, the truth always rises to the top. I'm like, cream? Isn't it the cream that rises?
Oh, man, they're the best. Well, Bethy, this has been awesome. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It
was so fun.
Everyone go check out the new podcast. Go check out Bethany's show on HBO. So Just Be with Bethany Frankel is a new podcast. She has her relief effort and all the stuff she's doing with Be Strong. She has her HBO show. Anything else? What else did I miss? Did I miss anything else? You're doing million things.
We can send you a bunch of the products. We have salad dressings and popcorn and preserves, and
nice.
You don't need shapewear. You look beautiful. You don't need shapewear. Your body's perfect.
No, I could use a little in the chest.
I'd
region.
Like some Spanx.
Yeah,
for my crotch.
Oh, it's not Spanx. It's called Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl. Sorry.
Skinny Girl.
We'll bleep that out.
Skinny Boy.
It's better than Spanx.
Yeah, yeah. I do actually need this. I will take some. Thank you.
Okay, you just give us your sizes, and we'll get you a nice built-in bra tank top.
Do they have, like, what would be my female size? XXXXL? Like, what is,
maybe,
do you have men's?
Yeah.
Do you have men's?
I can't see your physique right now. You'd have to stand up.
No, I'd rather not. All right, Bethany, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
That interview with Bethany Frankel was brought to you by...
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, let's wrap up the Friday episode of Pardon My Take with some Fire Fest. Then we'll send everyone off into their football weekend. I think there's a basketball game this tonight.
I haven't heard too much about it.
Actually, I'll start with Fire Fest. My Fire Fest is actually that. I've put on a strong face to our darling Jake when he constantly asked me, do I think the Heat have a chance? And I said, no chance. But there was a moment in the third quarter of game four where I was like, I think the Heat can win this series. Mm-hmm. And boy, was I wrong. And boy, does that suck. Because I told myself not to get my hopes up. And then I did.
Tell you what, how about this is our NBA recap?
Yeah.
So we're going to get ahead of it. We're not going to do it on Monday. Lakers technically won.
Good job, Lakers. Way to go.
Technically.
Way to go. You won the AAU
Game 7 Tuesday night.
Jake. You're going to break your little heart.
Come on, Jake. Jake, you want to do your Fire Fest?
Yeah, I actually have one. I think my email.
You always prepare. I love that.
Yeah, I always have one in my back pocket.
You know what Jake told me?
If I don't get called on, I pocket it.
Yeah. You know what he told me earlier today? So when Jake does the stool streams live, he does his homework. He interviews everybody that's going to be competing. He says that typically in any given game, you only want to use about 15 to 20% of what you've prepared for. So he over-prepares by 80 to 85%. Did I do the math right on
that
one?
Yeah, you got it.
Every time he does a broadcast. That's why we like Jake.
And with Firefest, so every week he has a Firefest and he pockets it. So pretty much like all the bad things in your life, you're just pushing them down as hard as you can and just being like, let's not talk about them.
No,
I like that about you, Jake.
It's just, if I get called on,
yeah.
I'm not going to try to insert
you're
myself.
You're Irish. You're now Irish.
Sure.
Okay.
I think my email got hacked. I've gotten some random weird emails in these last few.
Like what?
Did you look at porn?
Promo?
No. Did you look at porn,
no.
Jake?
No.
Did you look at porn?
No.
Okay.
Liberty U Online. American Home Shield Warranty, mm-hmm. CVS Shopper, FS360. It's annoying.
Are you in your junk mail?
No.
You're
it's
just
going straight to my inbox.
So, oof. Jake, just be like a normal American. Be like, okay, I have a lot of junk mail that I'm never going to send to like the junk folder. Right now I have like 50,000
yeah.
unread emails.
And then I press unsubscribe and they don't.
I would like to see the porn bots get into your Instagram
yeah.
comments.
What's your email
comes.
Address?
The splashes?
Yeah. Well, it's my personal email. Though.
Yeah, what is it? Well, I can fix it. What is it?
Well, I guess it's probably it's on my website. It's
yeah.
Don't send any more spam, guys.
Don't sign Jake up for everything.
Don't
it
sign him up.
It was already public, but
it's on
man,
your web-
that sucks.
You have a website?
I showed you guys in my interview.
Yeah, that's true.
I totally looked at it.
It's written in the third person too, which is my favorite part. Yes. It's written as if like it's like Jake Marsh did this, Jake Marsh did that.
Yeah, I love this. I love this.
All right.
I was gonna actually bleep out you saying your email so that people wouldn't send it, but now
it's already public. But now it's really gonna get
now it's really
up.
Public.
Your
be
page
nice,
is about to pop
be nice
off.
To Jake. Yeah,
yeah. Be nice to Jake.
Don't sign
do
him
it.
Up for hilarious listservs.
No, this get really bad.
Yeah, no, it's going to.
No, it's not going to. No one's gonna do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's of true. Course.
You're fine.
Welcome yeah, you got world. It, dude. Maybe take it off your website.
But yeah, I just said it, unless you bleep it out.
Right, we'll bleep it out, and then you can take it off your website.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I
should probably take my phone number off there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Jake, yes, you should. Oh. All right. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hank, you want to go?
You should do that right now.
You can go, Pepsi.
You don't have one?
No, I just want you to go first. Mix
okay. Well, Hank's looking up his Fire Fest of the week. My Fire Fest is a pretty easy one. I'm being investigated for $40,000 worth of damages by Airbnb,
ooh,
which I just found out about
nice.
Last weekend.
Party animal.
So I rented a house inside of Long Island on Labor Day weekend.
In what Labor Day weekend?
Inside, yeah, in Labor Day weekend, I rented a house in Long Island. I went out there, had a pool. Basically, I just wanted to get away from New York, get away from the city for a weekend, since I haven't really left the city since March.
Oh, you took a vacation?
Early March. No, it was on days that we already had off. That our forebears had fought for to get Labor Day. So I wanted to honor them by taking one day off of work.
Hmm. Yeah.
So got a house that had a pool in the backyard. Basically just hung out, took it easy.
You drained the pool and skateboarded.
Drank a few beers by the pool. And now the homeowner has contacted me saying that I caused $40,000 worth of the pool. All I did bad in that pool was piss in it, which I did a lot. That pool, I definitely peed a lot in that pool. However, they say that I didn't keep the pool at the correct level and that the motor and the pump broke down on it.
Oh.
By the way, that was not in the listing for the Airbnb telling me I would have to do any sort of pool maintenance.
You shouldn't have drank all that water.
I'm not a pool boy. I did go to school in Central Virginia. That does not make me a pool boy. But I did drink I drank a lot of beer. But I even took the hose, and I used the hose to fill up the pool every day that I was there. I think she's scamming me because she sent me a picture of the person who is in charge of fixing the pool, the mechanic. He wrote up a report saying this damage was caused by your house guest PFT not filling up the pool enough, which is bullshit because I did it every day. Anyways, I feel like $40,000 is a lot to ask.
Yeah, just don't respond.
Well, I did.
We have the
Airbnb's
best lawyer
involved.
In the world on your side, so you're good there.
I'm going to sick Mike Portnoy on him.
Yeah.
Get him.
If they want $40,000, ask me for $4,000. I'll probably give you $40,000 by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't cause a penny worth of damage to that place. But I am looking forward to a little public fight, though.
Yeah.
Because it gets the blood going.
Let me know if you want me to yell at someone.
Yeah, like you and your
I will show up and yell at them.
I gave a motorist the double birds today.
Love
in the middle of the street.
It
felt awesome.
Feels great. Yeah, I will show up to their door and just yell at them from a distance.
Okay.
Hank, your Firefest.
You go, Big Cat.
You keep thinking about the Challenger? I already went.
Billy?
All right, Hank doesn't have one. Go ahead, Billy.
My Firefest is actually Billy. Just in life in general.
Oh,
wow.
We've been playing Call of Duty. We got in a big fight. And then we played in the tournament last night. We came in dead last. And now we have to write a 5,000-word blog.
That's...
And
Billy, do you know 5,000 words?
I actually have a 4,000-word paper on Moby Dick. So why don't we just, submit that?
Yes, yes.
That's perfect. Like, I've been saying that the whole
perfect.
Time.
Perfect. Okay, and so Hank, you got to add 1,000 words to that.
Yeah, which isn't that bad.
No.
Just put...
All right, so solved.
Pre-workout.
All right.
Yeah. Review. Boom.
Your Firefest, Hank, is that you are fighting with a 20-year-old, 21-year-old about video games.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
when
that
you
definitely
actually go macro level,
that definitely is what happens where I get really upset and then I take a second, I'm just like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What's
here?
Going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
Billy, you got a Firefest, we're gonna do a number. Go ahead.
Well, my Firefest is I actually kind of lost my
Oh, and Billy was screaming. When we were playing, he was screaming at all his friends in the background. He was having a party or something.
I was
and
not having a party.
He has a friend.
He's not having a party.
He has a friend named Winston, which is just the most preposterous
great
name to have a friend.
My friend, he's Jamaican.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking
no, I was about to ask if you... That's
it's not like
that's
a Winston
cool
Churchill
name.
Type situation.
What's going on here? Finish this sentence, because this could go any different way, any direction.
I accidentally
lost
put a down payment
on
a hedgehog.
Okay, that's not
you
what
lost,
I expected.
Yeah,
what'd you
nobody
lose?
Did.
I lost a down payment because I basically
did
I
it
hit
when you're drunk.
You got
the
scammed.
Parlay last Sunday, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna buy a hedgehog."
Yep.
Then I woke up.
Most people do that with their parlay money.
Next day, and I was like, "Wait a second,
you spent
I
all your money on an
just
animal
impulsively buy animals.
Does it right. have its papers, or is this like a Tiger King situation where
it
like a lemur salesman is going to
anyway,
wear a wire
I think
on you?"
I've been deciding, am I going to either bite the bullet or actually get the hedgehog?
How much does one put down? What is 20% of a hedgehog?
Basically, the down payment on a hedgehog wasn't that much, but the actual hedgehog is a lot.
Mm-hmm. How much?
It was a $75 down payment,
wow.
And the hedgehog's about $250 on top of that.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
That's your credit must suck if they made you put down that much as a down payment.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many times you can fuck this hedgehog, though.
Whoa, no, you can't. That's the prickles.
You'll find a way.
That's
no
a porcupine.
No one would accuse
him like
I did not know.
You can fuck Sonic.
Just
there's an entire series of websites out there
dude,
dedicated
by,
to
like, the
Sonic.
Seventh fingering of this hedgehog,
no.
It pays for itself.
Okay.
Maybe whore it out.
I love that Billy keeps bringing up his animals, and we keep making
I just
the same
like
joke,
legit, like,
and he keeps
I think
being like, why are you saying I'm
chill
doing that?
Is fuck.
Yeah,
and
right.
And, like, you guys just, like, make me have sex with them.
Why don't you...
You do it on your own.
I don't. Anyway.
Go halvesies with Winston on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, actually, Hedgehog Winston's dads. Moving in. So.
Oh.
Winston and I had over 50 combined touchdowns in high school. So.
Oh, fuck. That's pretty sweet. That's yeah. Dude. So
he's moving in.
You, so. Why do you need a hedgehog? You can just talk about those touchdowns.
I know. We watch our highlights.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Dude, if they're like, Huddle's awesome because it just hangs around. You can pull it up anywhere.
All right. Yep.
Got so it. It's called the internet. 17. No, it's called the internet.
You can watch.
All right. Here we go.
17.
Huddle highlights. 18.
42. 50.
I don't right. like that Jake keeps price spin, whatever you call it.
Price is right.
Yeah.
42.
8.
One day we're going to get it.
What 89.
Is that? Damn, it's 89. It's going to be electric.
Wait, what?
It's going to be electric. All right, see you guys.
Love you guys.
Keep prices writing me.